from the front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones at alexjoneslive.com. You are the Paul Revere's. Share the links and spread the word. We've only just begun to fight. News today.
Talking to some of the good guys that are still at the Justice Department, and I've been talking to former FBI and current, and I'll just leave it at that, and I also talked to Kyle Serafin, who's been talking to his contacts, who's going to be joining us at the bottom of the next hour, and also my former lawyer, Norm Pattis, who was a big Proud Boy lawyer, and also one of my Sandy Hook lawyers, who was aware of a lot of this, and we had our suspicions previously. And it came out the CIA and DOJ were running operations under Biden and before that Obama against me to shut me down. But now with the indictments of the SPLC and the indictment of their former head last week, sources are coming forward about how they had multiple moles inside InfoWars feeding disinformation back to the Democrat Party law firms headed up by former federal prosecutors and others to basically frame me. Because they weren't just trying to have a fake show trial and $1.4 billion judgment. They were looking for something criminal. Well, talking to the FBI today, they weren't even aware, because there's a lot going on, that the SPLC admitted they had a mole inside InfoWars and published a three-part series with him talking about it. And his name is Zach Drucker. So there is a criminal investigation of the SPLC, not just funding Nazi groups, but also using money to infiltrate and try to use illegal spy tactics to shut down independent media in this country. So my lawyer joins us in an hour to get into all this. There's a lot I can't reveal at this point. We know who the other mole was as well. You saw them do a lot of big New York Times interviews and other things with total lies and disinformation. So that's what these people do. But I was told months ago by good folks in the DOJ that I shouldn't worry that the investigation that we were told last year, the six criminal investigations or probes that were beginning under the Weaponization Office had just been basically renamed and moved and that they were still working on it. I said, well, I'm not going to hold my breath. But this lady has been indicted. And you heard Todd Blanche, the new AG, saying that they're working through more criminal activity in there. And this woman was an expert against me in the show trials. They honchoed over my cell phone information and all the dirty tricks that went on there. And they sent somebody in who'd worked here before for a few years and then who quit and just did video editing and then who asked for their job back. And I said, sure. Even though they'd quit, and then they didn't quit on bad terms, they just went to work for South by Southwest and a bunch of stuff. And definitely a talented person, Zach Drucker. And then he came back in, jacked into the surveillance camera system, trying to find something. We don't have cameras like in the offices, but we have them at the entrances and hallways for security purposes. And the best they could get in over a year of all of our internal footage was me with my shirt off at midnight by myself with a cigarette hanging out of my mouth and a bottle of vodka in my hand. And so that was their big thing, their big leak. And then they just had him being interviewed about the white supremacy that didn't exist. So that's illegal, okay? And definitely many serious civil issues here. So that's just a huge story. Even if it wasn't about us, it's a huge story. That's coming up today with a lot more. Share the live feeds now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy.
1776RX.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol. Both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this. But benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Okay, there have been new indictments against the SPLC, with the DOJ finally doing something, including the head of the SPLC, who has been caught, and we knew this back at the time, honchoing and running major operations against myself and InfoWars and my crew and my family, trying to shut us down, trying to find dirt or manufacture dirt to put us in prison. That was the real point of all those lawsuits. And of course, they didn't find anything. They had us audited. The IRS gave us a $4.3 million return after 5 years, saying we rarely do this. And they just found out that I'm an absolute Boy Scout, because I am. Everything I do that's a little not naughty is very, very, very well known, like nicotine and alcohol, which I've got control of on them. Not the nicotine completely, but the alcohol. But I mean, there's just nothing there. Everything you see on air is who I am. And they put spies into the operation. They had all sorts of illegal stuff. And they've been indicted for funding white supremacist groups and funding them to engage in illegal activity, allegedly. I've been telling you for decades that's who runs it. And I told you the SPLC was honchoing with Bloomberg and the Democrats and the DOJ, but they use a private group, so it's harder to track for Congress. And now it's all coming out. And I'm told new indictments are imminent, and I'm going to be interviewed here very soon again by the DOJ and by the FBI about the known informants inside InfoWars. And I've named one of their names before because he did an interview and admitted he was in here and did illegal stuff, like jacking into our security cameras for over a year trying to find something, because we had cameras in the building, you know, in the hallways and entrances and things. So just, of course, nothing was there, but that's serious, serious racketeering. And just because they call me the devil doesn't mean you're allowed to do that, boys and girls. And so we've got sources, we've got whistleblowers, we've got it all. I was told, I guess I said 2 months ago earlier, about 3 months ago by a DOJ high-level source that, don't worry, this thing's ongoing, and you're about to see some fireworks. And I said, I'll believe it when I see it. And that was specifically when the SPLC got indicted. And they now that we've got all the information that we privately got dealing with them, and in their own bragging about how they infiltrated us, they are in a lot of trouble. And I think there's a very good chance these folks are going to get indicted for what they did. And I was told at the time, and Todd Blanche actually said he'd meet with me, and then I told the reporter that he reached out to and talked to, a well-known reporter, tell him to F off, because I thought it was he wanted to set me up or something. And that still could have been the case. But I was basically told, we've got other ways to go at this. We're not really killing this. We want to meet with you about what was done to you by the Biden DOJ. And I talked about this on air, and I just said, I don't believe that. F off. Now, maybe I was wrong. I'm not holding my breath. But now I've got the Justice Department and the FBI reaching out. I talked to another FBI source, and they've been talking to those folks about ongoing things. And so there's a lot here. I don't want to go into a lot of what we know is really bad, but I do want to cover a lot of new stuff in the next hour. So Norm Pattis, who's been a Proud Boy lawyer and my lawyer, and was the first person during all this to say, I think the DOJ is running, I think the SPLC, this is during the depositions and everything, like 4 or 5 years ago. And then now that's come out. We also know that his law firm got hacked to get a bunch of information. Of course, it was nothing there criminal, but they tried to use that. And a lot of other things happened. He'll be joining us coming up in the next hour at noon, the second hour. And 30 minutes into that, so will Kyle Serafin, who's been talking to his high-level FBI sources. And we'll just leave it at that, and we'll just stop right there. But he's proven to have amazing sources. And there are ongoing criminal investigations, and they got a lot of new stuff about to come down from our sources that I've confirmed, confirming what Todd Blanche has said. So we'll see. I mean, I want to believe. I want to believe Todd Blanche is going to do something. You know, he reportedly told Trump, you make me the AG, I'll take the gloves off. Well, there's Todd Blanche right there. We're waiting. We'd love to hear the bugle call. We'd love to hear the cavalry call. And the cavalry come over the hill here. And again, I'm not being naive, but why would they start indicting these people? And why would they be investigating what happened to me if they weren't going to do something? But I tell you, if I start seeing some of that, it's going to be wild. But I'm going to table that for now. We'll spend an hour or so on that and give you details next hour. And then I'm sure I'll hold Serafin over if he has time to get into some of all the other big issues that aren't related to me. But again, even if this wasn't happening to myself and the crew, I'd be on this. I mean, this is a big story. And they told us a lot more was about to come out about the SPLC. And I've told you for years it was the SPLC. I told you back at the time. Because these guys just think they're above the law, think they can do whatever they want. And they're an intelligence, private intelligence agency cutout. I mean, long before NATO was in the news, I told you decades ago that they're nesting inside NATO. That way they can get outside congressional review. A lot of the dirty tricks the shadow government, deep state runs, they run out of other, you know, State Department funding mechanisms. And I remember like 8 years ago, they were having public NATO meetings saying, we're not going to stop with just Julian Assange and Alex Jones. We're going to get everybody. We're going to censor everybody. And I'm reading these quotes in the Wall Street Journal, and it'll make your skin crawl. When all you're doing is teaching people how this works, having guests on like Mike Benz, you know, he's worked inside the system to show you documents. We're just here going over all of this. But what's come out of a lot of documents, what they really hate about me is they say over and over again, he gets outside the narrative, he creates new narratives that the public believes in. Well, that's because they turn out to be true. Like last week, I announced second invasion, second wave of Spanish-held territories in Morocco. And people would go to ChatGPT or Grok and say, is this true? And it would be like, well, no new invasion has been announced, but tens of thousands of more migrants are coming across. Well, I mean, I'm going to call it an invasion. Now, the news today is all over second wave and invasion. So, oh, I'm sorry. I see tens of thousands more pouring across, hundreds of videos. It's all confirmed. It's on the local news. No one's calling it an invasion. Back when Obama was telling the caravans come up here, I called it an invasion. I mean, it's my prerogative to have my opinion, but that's not my opinion. It's an invasion. You have the Moroccan Border Patrol pushing them in, releasing the prisoners, beating them with billy clubs to swim around the seawall into Spain. They're running an attack. The State Department called for it 4 months ago and gave them $40 million to do it, all because they're pissed off at Spain, because Spain won't let them use their bases for B-2 bombers, whatever. The point is the Spanish people don't deserve to have a Moorish invasion 2.0. That's what's called Morocco, land of the Moors. That's who invaded and took over Spain for hundreds of years. Oh, we got a stack of stuff. I've got probably, let's not exaggerate, 50, 60 videos that are bonker town insane of the new wave invasion. One started 2.5 weeks ago, and then they said, oh, we've kicked them all out. Everything's fine. Half of them didn't leave, it's estimated. Now tens of thousands more poured across. I mean, I got rape, murder, carjacking, police getting shot. I mean, a lot of this is, I don't even want to air, it's so violent. Pregnant women getting attacked. These are all the videos just yesterday you're seeing on screen. I mean, literally dozens and dozens of these. Hardcore. So that's all coming up. What they don't like is, I'll just call something like it is, and then people go, oh yeah, that is what that is, and then they can't just deny that there's not an invasion or there's no war in Iran and we're not going to sit there and play like, no, this is a full bore war. And Congress should either pass it and declare war or stop it. It's called the War Powers Act. And they're like, no, come on, it's not a war. I mean, we paused the war, it's back on. So we'll be getting to all of that today as well. There is so much. Iran shifts from defense to fully offense, close quote, posture, denies Trump has back channel with the IRGC. Trump threatens to bomb U.S. ally Oman as Iran agreement expires. The Atlantic reports on NATO's ultimate nightmare, a two-front war with China in the South China Sea and with Russia in Europe. South China Sea breakdown leaves Navy destroyer powerless for several days. Strategic petroleum reserve depletion raises questions about integrity of oil caverns. Israel's Ben-Gvir on TV advocates killing at least 30 or 40 people in Gaza a day as a quota. As new video of Israeli settlers running into the last Christian town in the West Bank and going completely berserk has now come out. This is intense, intense stuff. We'll also get into the latest on Fauci, a genuine scandal. Former ABC News journalist Terry Moran claims 2021 story about COVID being a lab leak was spiked by Anthony Fauci. What do you mean he claims it? By 2022, the emails got released because the head of the vice president, the deputy head of the EcoHealth Alliance, who ran the Wuhan operation, we've had him on the show, Dr. Huff, had already given Congress a year before all of the emails and documents. And then those were released to the public where Fauci was working with the CIA to suppress the entire corporate media and Congress to say it came out of a grocery store, a wet market, a live animal market, or out of some stupid bat cave. When it didn't even come out of Wuhan, it got made at Chapel Hill, North Carolina, under orders of Obama. We covered it in 2015 before it even got released. It's a huge scandal, all over the news. That's why they moved it to Wuhan. So we've got that. Fauci's in hiding as ABC censorship bombshell explodes. He's refused to testify to Congress. They're going to haul him in front of it. They've already referred criminal charges from the Senate on him for contempt. New text revealed Fauci knew initial studies of COVID vax did not include women in first trimester because they didn't want it included because they already knew what it would do. We've got that information. We also have the numbers on Trump, and I can confirm these from internal Republican pollsters. They are the lowest ever, spelling serious problems in the midterms, but a lot of Trump's white pill neocon folks that were former never Trumpers, they just attack anybody that points out that Trump needs a course correct. And quickly, and then, I say and, there's a lot more. Did you know British-funded NGOs are pushing for a law for age verification to be able to get on the Internet for everybody, an Internet ID, the key to their total control grid? And we're not talking about in England. We're talking about in America. British government-funded groups push age verification bills in 21 U.S. states. And again, this is what globalism is. We have the EU trying to get laws and suing U.S. companies, individuals. We have the U.K., Australia doing it. We have Brazil doing it. What are these foreign governments doing meddling inside our country? It should be illegal. Oh, I'm being anti-British. No, I'm against their corrupt communist Fabian socialist government doing that. Just like I'm not against Israel, not against the Jews. A lot of people are. The more fashionable, the more Hitler they are. That's not me, not Hitler. I legitimately am against Israel trying to run our foreign and domestic policy. And I'm against this. And I'm against China trying to control so much of our, not just federal government, but legislatures as well. The truth is, America is being gang raped by foreign interests, and I've had enough of it. When I criticize the communist Chinese government, I'm criticizing Chinese people. That all goes without saying. So, why don't we criticize Ben-Gvir basically calling for genocide and just quotas like the Nazis did? Why is that bad? What he's doing is bad. So that's coming up today as well. But the first thing I want to start getting to is this. We got a couple videos on the list. So let's have the guys pull those up because I don't have the numbers here for you. This is extremely important information. because this is something we can do something about. Look at these headlines. Overhead shot, please. Ivermectin, full dosage schedule for cancers and prevention. Look at these studies. Got a whole bunch of peer-reviewed scientific studies, real-world clinical outcomes of ivermectin and benzidol, cancer patients' results from a prospective observational cohort. PubMed. Whole bunch of these studies. Here's one, clip 24. We found 84% of cancer patients taking ivermectin with benzidol declared their cancer had completely disappeared, shrunk, or stopped spreading after 6 months. Our study is now peer-reviewed and published in the International Institute of Anti-Cancer Research. And then we have more other studies here about ivermectin by itself and what happened with that. Isn't that just interesting? We could spend hours on this, and this has been known for decades, but now it's being documented on top of documented on top of documented, and is an extremely, extremely good thing. And I personally have a good friend who was diagnosed with larynx cancer, and they wanted to cut his larynx out. And just a few weeks ago, he said nope, and went on ivermectin and benzidol, and he could hardly talk. It had swollen up so much, and now it's gone down, they estimate, by about 60%, and he can talk great, and it's still shrinking, and he feels great. We'll see what happens there. Remember, Mel Gibson famously went on last year on Joe Rogan, talking about how many of his friends were dying of cancer. They told him, go home and die. They took ivermectin and benzidol, and it reversed. Not saying it's an absolute 100%, but it's something they've known about. And remember, it got declassified this year by Trump, by Tulsi Gabbard, to their credit, that in the 50s, the Russians had similar anti-parasitic drugs that they found an almost 100% reversal if caught early enough, and the CIA suppressed that. Just type it into a search engine. CIA suppressed Russian studies showing anti-parasitic drugs were the closest thing to a cancer cure or would knock out cancer. Pull it up for yourself. They've known this. That's in the 1950s. You don't think people didn't know about that? Let that sink in. Just think about that for a little while here. Oh, did you know about potential cancer cure? What? We know. Oh, March of this year, Newsweek, about anti-parasite drugs, very similar to ivermectin and benzidol. Isn't that interesting? And, you know, the Japanese developed ivermectin and won a Nobel Prize. They prize carp over there. I mean, they'll pay millions of dollars for ornamental goldfish, and you know, particularly beautiful ones that, and it's like a thing over there for hundreds of years. And they just did all sorts of tests with their scientists and found, oh, this chemical just period makes them live like twice as long. Just forget the parasites and cancer. Just makes them live longer if you give them low dose. Got to look out though. High dose, bad for the liver long term. And then it won a Nobel Prize. But then you're told it's horse paste, just total crap, you're totally insane, while the elites take it. So just a factoid there. Let's go to this clip of one of Real America's Voice breaking all of this down with an epidemiologist and an administrator. Here it is.
We just published the largest real-world study on the ivermectin and benzidol for cancer. We had 200 cancer patients. We found 84.4% of them benefited in their cancer treatment, so half of them actually either their cancers disappeared reportedly and went away, no evidence of disease it's called, or the tumors shrank. It's called tumor regression. And again, that was about half. And then 36% the tumors stabilized, the cancer stabilized, it stopped spreading. So 84.4% of those individuals benefited.
Another area that very few people know about is ivermectin has effect on neurological conditions. And the ones that I've had the most success with have been Parkinson's and Alzheimer's disease. And again, it's a very simple thing. I discovered it by accident. There was a mouse model of sort of Parkinsonism. And for Alzheimer's, you can't even find the research because it's been scrubbed from Google. So there's a study that was done, a preclinical study on ivermectin and Alzheimer's, where the researchers concluded that ivermectin has an effect on Alzheimer's and should be studied. It's been scrubbed from Google. If you go on DuckDuckGo, you can actually get the abstract of that study. But in Google, it's completely scrubbed. You just see the titles. It was done in the Middle East, and it's nowhere to be found. You can't get a PDF of the article, nothing. Completely scrubbed. Parkinson's disease, I've used high doses of ivermectin, something like 60 milligrams, 72 milligrams, and these patients are responding. They have improvement in symptoms, improvement in movement. I have a patient who was barely mobile on maximum doses of standard treatment, who after a few weeks of high dose ivermectin started playing golf. And she hadn't been able to play golf for many years. And I've seen reversal in a number of Parkinson's disease patients. Now, Alzheimer's, this is where it gets really fascinating and really blew my mind. As patients sort of started asking me, you know, could I use it for my 90-year-old father or mother and so on, and I said, look, start with a low dose. Let's see what happens, right? Because the older you are, you know, you might have some side effects with ivermectin. If you give too high of a dose to an older person, you might get a little bit of confusion, a little bit of instability on the feet. And so start with 12 milligrams. And these, you know, the family members are trying. And some of these patients are recognizing family members after just a couple of doses. They're recognizing family members they haven't recognized in years. Their memories are coming back. So they start reminiscing. They remember things. Their cognitive ability starts to come back. Literally just 12 milligrams, 24 milligrams of ivermectin for a few days, 4 or 5 days. Just try it. And I tell people, just try. Try, report back to me. And I had one patient who was actually taken off hospice because they were doing so well. It's just incredible. And people tell me, you know, they get this precious time back with their loved ones. And especially with someone who's, you know, been suffering from Alzheimer's for many years, you know, you feel like you've lost your loved one. And then suddenly they're back. They say, my grandma's back. She's got her sense of humor back. Her memories are back. And this is literally with a couple of pills of ivermectin.
That's Dr. William Makis, MD. Folks, I could show you 1,000 videos, newscasts. This is all well known. But it's true. Big Pharma has gone to Google and paid them billions to suppress everything. Not just about this, but just stuff across the board. Because they want to control you. They want to dumb you down. There are thousands and thousands of incredible drugs. It's not that all drugs are bad that get developed. They want you to have the expensive, toxic, bad ones because the drug companies, the insurance companies are co-owned. You wonder why your insurance company will pay for some super expensive drug. It's because they're getting upwards of half of the money in a rebate. Most of the money that you think they're paying their other subsidiary. It's all just a giant scam, and it's pure evil. So when I tell you to research ivermectin, that's important. From all the studies I've seen, minbenzidol is even more powerful, and together they're incredible. Do your own research. That's why I tell you, do your own research on ivermectin and minbenzidol. The bad guys don't want you to know this information. We're going to come back, and we're going to get into, what will I get into next? There's so much here. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm extremely excited about this. You know we always have the strongest turmeric at thealexjonesstore.com, and the capsules are 95% curcuminoid. That is the strongest in the market. It's the very same great manufacturer that made this, made it as a liquid tincture, the strongest on the market, and even better than powder because there's even better absorption. Ultimate turmeric, and it's got a bunch of other amazing ingredients that are known as supercharged turmeric. I know so many people that Advil doesn't work when they have a sprained ankle or arthritis, but when they take our brand of turmeric, they go, this works better than Advil. And you know, including family I've had that's like, well, this pill's not as big as my other turmeric. My other turmeric helps, but I gotta take a bunch of the pills. I said, just take two of these. And whether it's my dad or my wife or anybody, they're like, wow, this worked better. Why? Because those aren't concentrates. Those are raw turmeric. This raw turmeric's 4 to 5% curcuminoid. 95 okay? So we're very excited about this tincture, just a half dropper a day. So good for your whole body. 95% curcuminoids. The liquid is better absorption. And this is 60 servings per bottle, so two-month supply. And right now, if you're a subscriber, you just sign up to lock in at 50%, canceling time for free. You lock in at 50% off. It's 25% off for everybody if you just buy it straight off at thealexshowstore.com. The new Ultimate Liquid Turmeric Tincture. And it's got a bunch of other really cool stuff in it as well. Not just concentrated turmeric root, curcumin lunga, the strongest part, but ginger root concentrated, zingbeer officinal is the, I guess, the Latin for it, and pepperdine concentrated black pepper extract. All of it synergistically works together. 250 milligrams and just a half dropper of the turmeric concentrate, 12 milligrams of the concentrated ginger, and 100 of the pepperdine black pepper extract. Very strong, an amazing product. The newest product at thealexjonesstore.com. Liquid tincture, superior absorption. Pepperdine inclusion is the difference maker. Turmeric without pepperdine is largely wasted. Most budget companies do that. Natural enzymes and things in the concentrated pepper get into the cells quicker. Triple ingredient synergy, turmeric, ginger, concentrated black pepper, 60 servings, vegan friendly, GMO free, gluten free, free of major allergies, natural flavors only, no additives or synthetic flavorings, and it funds this operation. And anybody getting the products, the other great supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, the t-shirts, the collectible coins that are about to sell out, the amazing shower filters that are the highest rated, taking out the most toxins of any brand, at an incredibly low price, should be a VIP. Every month in your profile, it charges you $30. You can cancel anytime for free. You instantly, when you're charged, get $40 in your profile to spend. Special deals, special offers, and sales on top of all the other sales. Everyone should be a VIP. And if you're worried about some products that sell out from time to time, just become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on all future orders of that product as long as you stay subscribed. Cancel anytime. So become a VIP, become a subscriber, and lock it in with no commitment from you, but it's locked in for you if you choose to keep it locked in at thealexjonesstore.com. New Liquid Ultimate Turmeric, the strongest on the market. So good for your whole body and inflammation. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
I'm gonna steal me a silver stallion with not a mark upon his silky hide. Teach him he can trust me like a brother. One day we'll saddle up and ride. And we're gonna ride. We're gonna ride. Riding like a one-eyed jack of diamonds with the devil close behind. We're gonna ride.
Waging war on corruption. Crashing to the lies and disinformation. All right, let me hit something really big and really important right now.
I'm gonna find me a reckless woman.
And I'm going to revisit this later in the broadcast as we learn more. But obviously it was a wonderful thing 3.5-4 years ago when Elon Musk bought Twitter and turned it around and made it an engine of free speech. It went from being the number 6th site in the world for news and information to being number 1 within just 2 years. and changed the world, got Trump elected, a lot of good. And some will say, wait, you say Trump's bad now. You admit you were wrong to support him. I never said Trump's worse than the Democrats. He's better. I never said he didn't do a lot of good in his first administration and then fighting for the presidency just by the deep state coming after him. That exposed their corruption. And he didn't launch wars when he was first in. That's why I was so confident he wouldn't. That's why we were so shocked. When we criticize Trump, I know most of you understand this, for things he's gone sideways on is to try to get him to correct. And yeah, when he says, and his surrogates say, let's go ahead and just nuke Iran, I'm like, okay, well, if you try that, you need to be removed from office. Doesn't mean removed from office. It means if he starts going down that road, we got to hit the brakes on this. So what Musk did with X has been amazing. And, you know, we've had some days where we've had 20 million people watching the live stream there alone. Usually it gets up to like 500,000, a million. We're on Rumble or a lot of the platforms. We're on hundreds of radio stations. We have our own streams. But it's still a very, very important platform. Then we take clips out of the show and tens of millions every day watch those. And people copy those, and we can't even keep track of how many views it gets being posted on all the other platforms and reposted to X. But it's substantive. So we'll put those posts on X I did yesterday and today back up so I can read them. On Friday, our social media people, there's two of them here, Lewis and one other great person, said, man, they really changed the algorithm in the back end. It's really screwing up a bunch of stuff. People are complaining. They'll probably work the bugs out. They usually do. The interface has got a lot of issues. And then Saturday, we did a live show, and it had regular, high views. But still, there was some wonkiness and some problems. And then Sunday night, which is always a big show, we come in, and there was a 90-plus percent reduction in the amount of people that would just, on a normal show, not a big show, all the shows are big, but I mean the really big ones, it was 90% or more less people. And clearly, that was the algorithm, because it also wouldn't post the live feed so you could see it. It would just post a link. And so that's a big problem. And then I noticed this morning when I got up to go look at comments, because I thought maybe they'd have ideas or what was happening to them. I was talking to my social media people. They were showing me posts and things on sports sites and other news sites that aren't even really political, and whole pages of people complaining and prominent tech people saying, yeah, X has got some major bugs with this change. So I said, looks like it's probably not censorship. Looks like it's a bug with whatever change they've had. And I sent post on X to Elon saying, you're probably aware of this, but in case you aren't, please get on this. And then I noticed the bots and some of the real people, about 75%, I would say, of the post this morning on my original post I shot last night when I got off the air. I shot just a couple-minute post saying, this may not be censorship, probably isn't, probably just to change the algorithm. A lot of times when they're working bugs out, stuff like this happens. But regardless, it's throwing a wet blanket on live streams. I saw people like The Quartering, who I've had on the show, who I like, but really doesn't like me now because I'm not pro-war, thinks I'm a Qatarian or something, saying, hey, buddy, it's just because your Pakistani bots are asleep. And, everybody hates you now. No, you don't just suddenly lose 90% of your viewers overnight right when an algorithm change happens and they don't show your live feed and they don't show anybody else's live feed, including non-political stuff. People are complaining across the board, and I'm not singling out the guy that does The Quartering. I was just bringing that up because he's known. It was just comment, 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 like a, that's what annoys me about the white pill Trump supporters is they just get in lockstep and they make everything about the battle for Trump and his personality and the battle of defending Trump. Not the battle of issues, not the battle of us that got him in power, keeping him on the straight and narrow, but just vitriolically attacking anyone that even mildly criticizes Trump in any way. And that's a big mistake Trump makes as well. He just came out and rips Fox host Shannon Bream, compares her show to the worst of fake CNN, and he says because he notices a lot of her guests criticize him. I mean, so what? And then Trump wants Jimmy Kimmel and people taken off the air because they criticize him. I don't like Jimmy Kimmel. He's criticized me, but his ratings are in the tank. No one cares. And what is a president involved in trying to have the FCC silence people? That's the kind of crap the Democrats did. I opposed it with them. I opposed it with you. Got the British government over here involved in 21 states trying to restrict our free speech. I don't care if it's the Israelis, Trump, the Brits, the Chinese, or the Easter Bunny. But, again, it's just frustrating that we went out, checked it, said, looks like it's not censorship, but it's having that effect. This algorithm's really screwed up. It's putting a wet blanket on everybody's live stream, including sports shows. You name it. Everybody's complaining. Please fix it. Oh, you lost your audience. Nanny, nanny, boo-boo. Stick your head in doo-doo. You can't come to the cool kid table in fifth grade. We don't want you at our Howard Lutnick, Jeffrey Epstein table. And I'm just like, when did you guys become 10-year-olds? I mean, seriously. I said, this is probably a bug. It needs to be fixed. This absolutely sucks. And I'm drawing attention to it. And you're like, no. Everyone just stopped listening to you because you're anti-Iran war and you question Charlie Kirk. Well, you know, most people don't believe the official Charlie Kirk story. The numbers are clear. You know, 80%+ of Americans are against this war, including 65% of Republican voters in major polls. It's even higher in some. I don't go do what I do on air and go, oh, look, stick my finger in the wind, what's popular. But in many cases, I do promote a popular view. Like, I'm against flock and the way it's being used. Almost everybody else is. But I was talking about the surveillance stuff 30 years ago. But I don't go, oh, that's popular. Let me be that. When something's unpopular, but it's the truth, I will do it. Like I did on the morning of 9/11, saying clearly those were bombs in the buildings. Then the local news announced they blew up Building 7. And the police said, get back, they're blowing it up. Back then, people didn't archive that stuff. That was pre-YouTube. People said I was a liar, and about 5 years later, they uploaded all the archives on all the major channels for whatever reason, and there was dozens of TV channels, BBC, CNN, NPR, ABC Local, all saying they blew up Building 7. Larry Silverstein gave an interview and said they blew it up to PBS. But my point is, I went from 200-and-something stations down to like 30 in 1 month. And my revenue went down about 90%. That's okay. Because I have integrity, and I didn't even think about it. The station was very nice, too. They called me and said, listen, you have high ratings here. People really love you. I mean, I was like the up-and-comer in talk radio then. I mean, just dominating. Had, you know, Roger Ailes contacting me through Fox, wanting to, you know, work with me, all the rest of stuff. And, oh, that put the brakes on that real quick. They came around again later. But the point was, is that they wanted to control me so I didn't take the job to be, quote, Limbaugh's replacement, you know. And so, again, these people, like I'm in junior high, because you can go to the original post I did last night about how whether this is censorship or not, it's having that effect. My first post last night, I think it's at about 6:30, guys on X, pull that up. And you can go to the comments in there, and, I mean, when I say 75%, it's like the majority who flood in there to have a little celebration. They're like, oh, everybody hates you. Everybody's tuned out from you, blah, 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 trying to make me feel bad, trying to, here, I'll pull it up for you, trying to make me go, oh, my goodness, you don't like me now, so I'm going to give up. Yeah, that's some of the comments in the original post. Let's scroll up to the top. Let's scroll up to the top so people can see the actual name of the video, because I forget it, so people can go see it. Yeah, there it is. Red alert, live shows on X, 9% reduction in viewers after change in algorithm. Are we witnessing mass censorship or just a huge bug in the system? Alex Jones fires the bat signal to Elon Musk. And you scroll down and read it for yourself. I haven't looked at it since this morning. It is person after person after person after person after person saying that, no, there's no censorship. No, there's no problem. I mean, look at the quartering. Let's scroll up. Maybe the Pakistani bots are asleep. Alex, as a daily viewer, I have personally tuned out since you've been on this the Jews killed Charlie Kirk nonsense. I'll tune back in when you come back to your senses. What did my post have to do with Jews? I didn't say the Jews killed Charlie Kirk. That's what most of the internet thinks, and I've looked at all the angles. So I always love the straw men, too. Hey, quartering. I'll give you $10,000. You can give me a clip of me saying the Jews killed Charlie Kirk. $10,000, buddy. Should be real easy. I'd bet you more, but that's about what I got in my bank account. So Challenge is there, pal. What did I say? It's a sudden and dramatic change across X. Which now you can go to all the forums about X on X, and they're like, yeah, this totally sucks. I mean, you've got live show streams I saw this morning that are like women doing women's hair that usually have like 300,000 viewers are like, I've got 5,000 viewers. I haven't had this in years. What's going on? Well, I guess the Pakistani bots weren't very busy for you, sweetheart. I love the pretending that I haven't been on air 32 years, pretending like we don't have tens of millions of views, pretending like we haven't been number one for many years running off and on. It's like, oh, Jones has a big audience because Pakistani bots are promoting him. Oh, yeah, I'm a real big friend of Pakistan. I say a lot of really nice stuff about Pakistan. I'm like a famous Islamophobe. I'm calling for the new crusades. But I'm on the Muslim payroll. Oh, Tucker Quatarlson? Well, how about Donald Quatarlson? Donald, what's a joke name combining Trump and Qatar? Tricar? Trump car? I can't think of something funny. Hell, let's use ChatGPT or Grok for that. Give us silly nicknames, silly combinations of Trump and Qatar, and let's come up with one of those. Not that I even hate Trump. It's just that you can't sit there and say everybody that's critical of these wars or all of this are working for Qatar while Trump got a $300 million airplane from him and all the rest of it. And those other Gulf states pumped billions into his Bitcoin stuff. Then it all went down and they never complained. I mean, just give me a break. I'm not even mad at you. It's just like ridiculous. But I'm digressing. We're watching it. We're seeing what's happening. What's happening with your streams? We want to know about it. We want to get on top of this. Silly name combos for Trump and Qatar. Trump, Qatar. Trump, Qatar. Qua-Trump. Donald Qatar. Trump, Al Thaney. The Donald of Doha, Emir Trump, Quatarled, Big Orange Qatar, Trump of the Sands, Make Qatar Great Again, MQGA, Seek Trump, Seek Don, Trumpy the Qatari, Golden Dome Donald, Q Trump, Doha Don. Oh, that's a good one. Doha. Yeah, folks, you say I work for Qatar. Or Pakistan with no evidence is ridiculous. I'm like a piranha. I'm sorry to have to do it. Attacking the Pakistani invasion of Europe. And then meanwhile, you got, put that back up. I like the last one best. Doha Don. That's a good one right there. What is that one? A bonus ridiculous ones. Trump. Trumpistani light. Qatar's favorite orange. The art of the deal with camels. Oh, so that's what Grok came up with. Let's ask ChatGPT or Gemini. But they're so politically correct, it'll probably have nothing. All right. I didn't mean to go off on a jag about that, but we've got other serious censorship news on this front. Did you hear? British NGOs are trying to get total age verification for everyone, including 80-year-olds, to get online. That means Internet ID, which means Internet tracking, which means Internet taxation and control, and they can shut you off the Internet with a social credit score. Oh, and that's not in the UK. They already passed that there. Now their NGOs are in a whole bunch of states trying to pass it. This is up at AlexJonesLive.com. British groups push age verification bills in 21 U.S. states. Oh, really? So is the EU. The bill is practical and realistic, drawing as it does on the UK's Age Appropriate Design Code, AADC, which is censoring everybody now, that has a joint statement by two authors of California's Age Appropriate Design Code for Five Rights Foundation, the British NGO that reportedly helped write it, and they're lobbying and funding, read the article, in 21 states. So a foreign government partnered with California to ram this down our throat. People say, I don't care about California, wall them off. They're the testing ground, the invasion point. So this is the Age Verification Providers Association. It's a British trade association whose members supply age verification and estimation technology. They also want our governments to buy it from them. It supports the Online Safety Act, and it has published for sites within the Act scope to run age checks on VPN users, treating the tool people use to escape checking as grounds for another check. So what they want to kill is anonymous surfing. This is bad, bad, bad. Texas forces Discord to implement UK-style age verification and safety rules. Fox News. And it turns out it's coming out of the UK. You see? And 39 states have passed laws that if you criticize Israel any way in a documented form, it's a felony if you accept money or anyone in the state gives you a contract to paint the school, do a road, do a remodel, do trash pickup, porta potties, catering to a state or government agency, you name it. That's crazy. But I am doing that because the Qatarians, Qatar sent me money to say that. No, I know it's tyranny. It's tyranny, ladies and gentlemen. It's absolute garbage. Meanwhile, House Majority Leader Steve Scalise says the Democrat Party has been taken over by the Bolshevik Revolution, and the left's like, oh, red scare, red scare. It ain't a red scare when you got commies running out of your ears, coming out of the woodwork. And we got a lot of sick statements by the Democrats, Socialists of America, but they're being matched by Hakeem Jeffries, calls Supreme Court a subsidiary of MAGA, threatens to expand and pack court if the Dems take power, which on the course we are now, they are. And what are all you white pillars that call us all traitors that criticize Trump doing things he said he wouldn't, that aren't part of original MAGA, that'll also make us lose the midterms? What are you going to do when we lose the midterms? And what are you going to do when he's gone? Because even I was in a debate a few weeks ago with these guys up in Dallas. They're like, we got to stick with Trump. We need to keep doing with Trump. And then Trump posts over the weekend on Truth Social, him with a hat says 2028 Trump, and he says, we will win. He's not going to be able to get around the constitutional amendment and do that. That's delusional. He's 80 years old, folks. But no, they're really saying no, no. There'll be a big enough crisis and he'll be able to stay in power. Remember when they had Zelensky in the White House, and Zelensky's like, well, I suspend the elections because there is war. You do not have election during war, which you always do in our country. And Trump goes, I like that. That's a great idea. I need to do that. And at the time, I said, oh, I'm sure that's a joke. But I'm not so sure. And if I get attacked for criticizing this, he's the one posting the image. Oh, he's not doing that. Shut up. You know, I want to ask all the neocon acolytes, the neocon converts. Let's take the guy from The Quartering. In fact, I want him to come on the show. Would you support a third term? Am I a traitor if I don't support that? Again, I'm talking about what do we do after Trump? We got to get positioned. We got to reject a bunch of stuff he's done in our rhetoric, position us ourselves in the party, in the Republican Party, to then explain to voters, no, we're going to continue to deliver on what Trump delivered part of the way on, but not all the way. I don't like this third party talk because it'll just end up pulling from the Republicans, even though they've got a lot of problems. I understand people conforming one to inject real issues and is a threat to the Republican Party, and people have a right to do it. I'm not saying they're bad, but I saw a lot of people saying, Jones wants to split the Republican Party. Jones, no, I don't. Trump's the one that split the Republican Party with his behavior. Look at him right there. Trump 2028, we're going to win. He was fulfilling all of his promises and didn't look like he was having a lot of health problems and everything else. If they had some legal way to get that amendment repealed, maybe I'd support it. Yeah, but going sideways and doing all this stuff? No, I don't support Trump running again for a third term. Come on, people. All right, we're going to break. The SPLC's been indicted again, their head, and in the investigation, it's coming out, illegally spying on yours truly to rig show trials against us. I got inside baseball that's not in the news. I don't have speculation. I got confirmation, and it's been given to the DOJ and the FBI, and more is going to be given. So we'll see what happens with our little pals, But definitely, I got a ironclad lawsuit against these guys now. Ironclad. And they're little moles that thought what they did was funny and thought what they did was cute. It's not. Now, there's a huge special deal running right now at theyellowstonestore.com. This is a product you want to take continually, so this is a particularly insane deal. Because I happen to know this is at cost. In fact, I'm a little upset with them even doing this. The highest quality bovine colostrum concentrated, 72% off with subscription, and it just charges you each month. You get a canister of it for $19.59 a month. That is just totally insane. And then you can cancel anytime for free. Gut health, immune health, nutrient absorption, whole body recovery. It's just one click in your profile. You subscribe to it, and you get it at cost. And the idea in this is that you'll love it so much and you'll get other products that it's worth it. But this is an insane good deal. Lock it in for life as long as you stay subscribed. Only for the first 1,000 people. Oh, I knew there had to be a catch. That is insane. After that, it goes back to $34.95, which is still an insanely good deal. These are moving fast. Yeah, the same thing sells under another name in Whole Foods for $60. And this is just the top private label, folks. We don't reinvent the wheel. It's just the best. These are moving fast. Once these 1,000 are gone, it's gone. Oh, and also, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel and more. But while you're on the site, be sure to get the methylene blue and the capsules and the tincture. We've got the best and all the other great products that will enrich your life at theyellowstonestore.com. And then go over to 1776rx.health, 1776rx.health. Just the number, 1776 and rx.health. Go there on the online pharmacy and get the highest quality medical grade, prescription grade, pharmaceutical grade, ivermectin and minbenzidol. There's a lot of minbenzidol and ivermectin being sold online and stuff, and most of it's not real or it's adulterated. This is strong stuff. This is the real stuff for your total detox, your antiparasitical, and more. New ivermectin, minbenzidol, available in a combo, really strong, whole bunch of capsules. And it's just good to take, in my view, as a detox 3 times a year, but consult your physician before you do that. 1776rx.health. You are insane, in my view, if you don't take this. I personally do 2 rounds of it in a detox. I've been doing it about 5 years now, and it just does amazing things. And ivermectin's good for your brain, everything else, minbenzidol, knocks out a whole bunch of other things. So get yours now and support the broadcast at 1776rx.health. Ivermectin and minbenzidol together, an incredible 1-2 punch right now at 1776rx.health. All right, we'll be back with hour number 2. On the good old Southern Poverty Law Center, who's in deep, deep trouble. Stay with us.
This sword has tasted blood, and it will taste more.
Attack!
Friends, has your water been acting a little suspicious lately? Does it taste like it took a wrong turn through a garden hose on the way to your kitchen? Well, don't panic. Introducing the Dual Carbon Gravity Water Filter.
Gee whiz, it sparkles like diamonds in the sunshine! No more of that yucky, murky tap stuff that tastes like it came straight from the old rusty pipes.
This water is so good.
It's the best ever!
I'm so glad. Fresh water is important.
Thank you!
You're welcome. Drink up.
We will!
Wow, that sure is a fine-looking water filter.
You know I'd never do you wrong, Lucy. This is top of the line, I tell ya.
Oh, I believe you.
Just you wait and see. I just know Ricky will love it.
I can't wait till he gets home.
He'll be so impressed.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
Come in the kitchen, dear. I want to show you...
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Problems got really bad a few months ago when they got indicted for funding all the major white supremacist groups, and now their leader has been indicted, and it turns out, of course, she was heavily involved quarterbacking operations against us. Brett Cooper, back when all this broke, began to talk about it, so did obviously every other channel in the country, but now we've got inside baseball today, and a lot more is about to come out confirming moles from the SPLC insider operation. I have names. Already named one last hour, Norm Pattis, who was a Proud Boy lawyer and also my lawyer, and they attacked both groups, is going to be joining us coming up when stations join us at 6 after. But first, even Fox News is saying Alex Jones was right about the SPLC.
TLDR, guys, per usual, it looks like Alex Jones was right. The bombshell that Kash Patel and the acting attorney general, Todd Blanche, dropped this week was that the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the organization that for more than 50 years has committed to fighting for social justice and against racism and against extremism and violence, has actually been funding that racism, that extremism, that civil injustice behind the scenes. Funny, isn't it?
You're not an intellectual. You're a fake and a fraud.
We pay people to be racist so we can fight racism. It's a clever business model. I gotta give it to them. Like, that was the strategy of the SPLC. Because if there is not enough racism and inequality to keep the doors open, you instigate it yourself.
Stop right now.
F-37 was a member of the chat group that planned the 2017 Unite the Right event in Charlottesville, Virginia, and attended the event at the direction of the SPLC. This individual made racist postings under the supervision of the SPLC and helped coordinate transportation to the event for several attendees. Between 2015 and 2023, the SPLC secretly paid this individual more than $270,000.
I'm people.
And it's almost like instigating an event of that size and then peddling hoaxes and lies in the media based on that event was kind of the entire plan. Again, they put in $300,000 and they got fodder for a lifetime. And you know what? Alex Jones called it. He called it from the very beginning, all the way back in 2017, right after it happened, literally in August of 2017. He said that this was an inside job, as you can see right here. And this was his take.
Charlottesville was mainly a bunch of homosexual leftist dressing up like Nazis who'd all formerly worked for Obama or Hillary, part of their art club. And then they lured a bunch of reporters there and some real white supremacist so the police could stand down and collide them into the folks. I pointed out that some of the same leftist foundations are funding the white supremacist that are funding real white supremacists in Ukraine. I got sued for that. And I said it was all part of leftists coming out to come to this big event and hope there was some big crisis out of it to demonize the right in general and tie us to Nazis.
And, you know, when he says that they were hoping that some crisis would come out of it, it reminds me of that normal political phrase, like, never let a crisis go to waste.
So that was a few months ago. Now, I've said a lot of this on air already. What was it? 3 years ago, 4 years ago, right in the middle of the show trials in Texas and Connecticut, a employee quit, and then he admitted he had jacked into our security camera footage for over a year trying to find something bad. Nothing was there. Me walking around with my shirt off by myself at midnight, still working, with a vodka bottle in my hand and a cigarette hanging out of my mouth. That's all they got. Wow, good job, because we had cameras at the entrances in the hallways, not in the offices. But you got me walking around with my shirt off with a bottle of vodka in my hand and a cigarette hanging out of my mouth. Did I ever tell you that I didn't drink something too much? Did I ever tell you that I haven't smoked off and on? No, you even knew that from me. That's all you got, Jack. And what, ladies have always liked me for whatever reason? Yeah, that's about it. Okay? Then I got to, like, take a stick and just kick the women back, kick back, kick back. And definitely want to keep the one from the SPLC away, but she turns out she's quite a horn dog, too, with those Nazis. She's probably got a big-ass swastika as a tramp stamp on her. The SPLC. Heil Hitler! Heil Hitler! Anyways, we'll be right back to talk about the House of Cards coming down. Oh, the FBI's got your name, Zach Drucker.
Ladies and gentlemen, Big Lee has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
So Heidi Bayrick got indicted last week, and then now there's whistleblowers coming out and insiders and news articles about her infiltrating InfoWars with a mole. Well, I can tell you it was two moles, and I told you years ago it was the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now with one of the moles, he did a three-part series interview with them admitting he infiltrated us and gave them this information. So his name is Zach Drucker. So there you have them doing this in plain view. And you have them reportedly feeding information they got inside, mainly made up stuff, because they kept looking for stuff that didn't exist. Also, they could demonize us, but the real mission was to find some type of criminal dirt on us. Now, Zach Drucker jacked into our surveillance cameras for over a year and then went and gave them all the footage. And did a bunch of other stuff and was interviewed. And there's the articles. There's three of them. Or three parts. But I want to play, before we go to Norm Pattis, a short Fox News piece. Because this is a small window into this. Right when Trump got reelected, to Cash Patel's credit, 1 month after, they said, check your mail. In the mail came a DVD with a bunch of files on it from the DOJ. With all of these counterterrorism espionage investigations around the Boston field office. Going back to 2013, starting with Comey, that's the really nasty office for the really clandestine stuff, like the FBI hit teams with Whitey Bulger used to run out of there nationwide. And the mission was to destroy me. And then we got undercover CIA admitting and undercover FBI admitting it. They admitted on the stand. The FBI chief counsel in Connecticut went and created the lawsuits against me. So this is all known. The DOJ funded millions and millions of dollars to the groups to do this. That's all come out. You've seen us show you all that, the documents, all of it. But when you have the SPLC sending people in to infiltrate companies to then feed information to civil lawsuits, that is illegal as hell on so many fronts, and not to mention uncivil. The lawsuits out of this are just slam dunks, ladies and gentlemen. And don't worry, that train's a-coming. You can hear it around the bend. And when we're done, we hope you're in Folsom Prison. But the point is that they're in a lot of deep doo-doo. By the way, when they sued me, Hillary Clinton's, one of her operatives from the State Department, they dropped it later. I specifically, that reporter you saw that was posting on Fox News showing me, explaining it was NGOs, in the longer clips, I say Southern Poverty Law Center. Because I already knew. Okay? And so this is a big deal. So here's the Fox News clips. We'll go to Norm Pattis. I appreciate him holding while we give some backstory here. But here they are reporting on how Obama targeted dozens of conservative groups, including Breitbart. And you see on the map and the document from the DOJ, Congress released this, recently. You see InfoWars right up at the top, at or in the, and on the right-hand side of the pyramid. So it's in the documents, but we also have the documents from the DOJ that we published, how we were targeted. Todd Blanche killed the investigation that Ed Martin was running in the Weaponization Committee operation, but I was told by a big reporter that Todd Blanche wanted to meet with me and that actually they had just moved the investigation and that I should meet with him and trust him. I talked to people. They thought he wants to set you up. I went on air and said, F off, because let's say I'm not naive. Maybe I overly compensated. We'll see what happens, because I really respect Kyle Serafin, and he knows a bunch of sources that he really respects, and they say, no, Blanche, they think overall is good. We will see. But I will tell you that I'm talking to the DOJ and the FBI. And you've heard there's more indictments coming. So we have them cut and dry. Not just funding white supremacist groups and getting them to do illegal things is the charges, but also targeting the groups that Obama and then it continued with Biden ordered them to target. So here's the clip from Fox News. We'll go to Norm Pattis.
Fox Business, a bombshell new report reveals the Biden administration is using taxpayer money to wage a covert war on conservatives and Christian groups. The Media Research Center, a conservative watchdog group, obtaining documents showing DHS, Department of Homeland Security, is using a program meant to fight terrorists, which includes groups like the Heritage Foundation, MAGA, Fox News, even the Republican National Committee
in
the same
category. Yeah, the Republicans, you know, they're just terrorists down at the bottom. But as you go up towards the more evil, let's put it back on screen. Pause, please. I'm in with Breitbart, PragerU, Proud Boys, Turning Point USA for destruction. Let's finish the clip and go to Norm Pattis.
As Nazis. Joining me right now is Media Research Center founder and president Brent Bozell. Brent, it's great to have you this morning. We want to know more about this. Tell us what you found and this so-called pyramid of far-right radicalization.
It's an astonishing finding, Maria. There's the program called the Targeted Violence and Terrorism Prevention Grant Program. This is supposed to find domestic terrorists in America. It was started by Obama. There was concern by Republicans that it would be weaponized against Republicans and conservatives. Trump put the kibosh on it. It's come back now with Joe Biden. You have that pyramid. Where's that pyramid coming from? There are 80 recipients of money so far. They've received $40 million in grants. We've done FOIAs on 31 of them. The University of Dayton, none of them have wanted to respond. Here we go again. Recipients of public money won't tell the public what their money is for. The University of Dayton wouldn't give it to us. We found the documents. Anyway, look at that pyramid. This was a conference in December of 2021. In the first layer, you've got Heritage, you've got the you've got Fox News, you've got Christian Broadcasting, you've got the Republican National Committee. Already you've got more than half of America is on the list. The second level torques it up. More dangerous groups. Turning Point USA, Tea Party Patriots, PragerU, Breitbart, that American Conservative Unit. Then the third level is pro-Nazi organizations. And the top one is militant Nazi organizations. So there you go, the pyramid, showing the progression of domestic terrorism. But listen to this. I want you to hear this, what they were actually doing in this conference. One speaker was associating Ron DeSantis with the Holocaust.
Unbelievable.
One speaker was associating Donald Trump with Pol Pot, the genocide guy. One speaker did this. He advocated programs to deny people to shut down their websites, to close their meetings, and to physically prevent them from assembling in public. Physically prevent them from assembling in public.
Physically, yeah.
Put it all together, and it goes on. By the way, that speaker also said, and this is a quote that we have to remember, he's a member of Antifa. He said, a lot of things we are doing are illegal.
Let's stop there. We're live at 12:14 noon central. When we post this to X and Rumble later, we'll put the full Fox report. It goes on and on. Shut our sites down. Take our banking away. Don't let us assemble in public. Outlaw us. And I'm listed, then we got the DOJ documents. Now we know this lady, who was the head of this operation at the SPLC, she was involved in the lawsuits against me. She was one of their witnesses. She was one of their experts. She was supposed to testify, but they got scared and pulled her. The SPLC put multiple operatives in. That's been confirmed. They've admitted it. It's now under criminal investigation. I can tell you that exclusively. and by the DOJ. She's been indicted, and more indictments are coming, Todd Blanche said last week. And so this is a big deal. Now, Norm Pattis knows a lot more than he can say on air, and I appreciate him holding while I did that backstory. But he was one of the main lawyers for the Proud Boys, also targeted by her, specifically and me. So you see that list. We were particularly targeted. That's coming out. And we've got the moles, whistleblowers. It's all coming out. And he was also my lawyer on the Sandy Hook show trials, where we were found liable by the judges. HBO produced it. Norm Pattis, that was quite the buildup, but just what do you want to impart to people? This is a pretty big deal. They're running scared right now.
It's a huge deal. It reminds me very much of what happened with the Church Committee in the 70s when the whistle was blown on the COINTELPRO operations that the FBI engaged against the left. During the Proud Boys trial, for example, we had to fight very hard to get evidence before the jury that there were federal confidential human sources embedded in the Proud Boys. And we fought and started to win that battle. And our point was, if this was a planned event, the CHSs, the snitches would have known about it. One night when it was pretty clear we were going to get a list of names in front of the jury, a senior Justice Department official came up to me in the hall and said, "What are you looking for?" And I said, "I want to find out how many CHSs you had on the ground with the Proud Boys on January 6th. Why? Because I don't think there was a plan. I don't think you think there was a plan. And if there was one, all these eyes and ears on the ground would have found it." And to keep me from asking more questions and blowing the lid off of that, we reached a stipulation. They gave us a number which we thought was reasonable, and we were able to argue that in front of the jury. I've always regretted that and wondered what it was we left on the table. The job was to defend the boys, not to be a journalist and uncover larger truths. But it told me there was a lot going on with CHSs. When I saw the Byrick indictment last week, I about fell out of my chair. You know, Heidi Byrick was listed as an expert on extremism, and they had tendered her, the Sandy Hook plaintiffs, as a potential witness in your case as an expert. So we took her deposition, and she didn't do very well in my view. So I wasn't surprised that she didn't testify. However, I'm now reading, and I've heard from Nick Hasiafatsu, Nick the Hat, out in Pennsylvania, that he's got an FBI source that is prepared to come forward and say that there were sources in your organization, Alex, that were beholden to InfoWars during the trial. And that just drives me crazy. I mean, what happened to you in that trial was unprecedented in American history, in my view. You provided tens of thousands of documents. You sat for hours worth of depositions. People, everyone close to you sat for depositions. The Sandy Hook plaintiffs were never persuaded that you were forthcoming with all the information you had, so they persuaded a judge to grant a default. Who told them you weren't forthcoming? I spent weeks, not consecutive days, but weeks of times over a couple year period at your organization looking for all the documents that I could find. I didn't think that there was more to give than we gave. Somebody told the Sandy Hook plaintiffs that there were, and then they persuaded the judge that there were. The judge defaulted you, basically keeping from the jury the fact that you had complied with discovery, that you had in fact participated in the civil justice system, but instead told the jury you'd been found liable for causing harm. And the result was this eye-popping verdict that was untethered to the facts of the case and was a result. I wonder whether it was a result of sort of SPLC-funded agitprop, whether they were able to get the ear of the Sandy Hook lawyers and say, no, there's more.
Well, let's talk about Heidi Bayrick, okay? They said, give us your marketing. You made money off Sandy Hook. I cover news, and then I have products and services we promote, cut and dry, totally separate issues. Okay? And then you have this Heidi Bayrick lady indicted up at the very top of SPLC, reportedly having sex with the neo-Nazi leaders, living with them, giving millions to herself and them, her live-in squeeze. And they're saying in the indictments, funding them to do illegal stuff. Regardless, we always knew they ran all the white supremacist groups, and now it's all coming out about investigations into infiltrators. That's highly illegal for a private group to do that. Government has to have serious, you know, all sorts of court approval to do that. This is serious espionage, racketeering, tortious interference, whatever you want to call it. It covers the waterfront, abusive process through the courts, you know, all this being rigged. And then the FBI, when I've talked to them, they didn't even know in the DOJ that they had a three-part series. We'll put it back on screen with Zach Drucker, who worked at InfoWars, and they admit was an informant for them. And so they didn't even know. The SPLC admits they infiltrated us. We know who the other informant was. We'll be exposing him soon. But just, again, they didn't have moles in here to even find anything. They had the moles to claim they had the credibility to make stuff up. And we're going to release a lot more soon that is damning. I've got crew that are witnesses to it. I mean, one of these guys, not Drucker, the other guy, right before he quit, would walk into the coffee room and say, "I hate N-words." And people go, "Whoa, whoa." And when the crew told me right when he quit, they said, "Well, we didn't want to stir up trouble," but he kept doing it. And, you know, he did it with Zimmerman on a road trip to do an interview. He kept saying, "I hate these N-words." And he's like, "Well, we love everybody. Well, why are you talking like that?" And he couldn't get anybody to like talk like that. And it was just horrible people, absolutely disgusting what they were doing. And who knows what else they were doing inside the organization. But this is the crap.
Well, I'd love to know.
Yeah,
I would love to know. I fault Jim Jordan when he had his committee going during the Proud Boys trial. There was a lot of information on the streets in D.C. about CHSs, and he never asked for it. You know, I'm still under court order not to reveal all that I learned.
A lot of folks don't know what a CHS is.
Confidential human source, an undercover agent. We are under orders, the lawyers in that case, not to disclose the contents of notebooks we were given. Jordan knows about those notebooks. He could have easily subpoenaed somebody to come and testify before his committee. And when that person said, "I can't do it," you could be held in contempt of Congress.
That's the feds lying about having feds inside January 6th before and during.
Well, let's talk about January 6th for a little bit. There's one video, Alex, that I think settles the case, and that is the Proud Boys marched across the mall at some point. They had no banners. They were in formation. They got to the peace circle. They hung out. Soon the crowd of them was infiltrated by banner-waving groups, and these were people who had left the Trump speech up near the White House. When that crowd got involved, that's when the crowd got jazzed up, and that's when the breach of the barricades took place. There was no plan. Even the government acknowledged in its closing argument that the jury could have convicted if there were a so-called implicit conspiracy formed instantaneously at the moment the first barricade was breached, so long as they understood they were there to do violence. That's not a conspiracy. That's a protest gone bad. And so I'd like to know who was in that group of banner-waving people that jazzed people up.
Well, we now know the FBI director lied to Congress when he said no FBI assets were in the crowd. There were a bunch of FBI agents as well. But let's expand on this. Let me quantify this and get your take on it. The DOJ, and there's articles and leaks that I can confirm this is going on at the DOJ, because I was told this months ago and I just rolled my eyes. Now I'm seeing proof, so I'm like, okay, well, show me more. I'm still not holding my breath. But they're talking about SPLC tried to infiltrate InfoWars to crank us up to be violent on Jan 6, and that they infiltrated the Proud Boys to try to crank them up, but that it failed and that was federal funds to do it, so that's more proof of the feds trying to do that. I separately know in Austin of a major Trump group in Steiner Ranch, which is the rich enclave, that they were trying to wind up groups there, and I'll just stop there, and that's an ongoing investigation. Not connected to us, but that's just another one in Austin. So this is the investigation was on that. The FBI and DOJ did not know that the SPLC bragged they had an infiltrator and a confidential human source, Zach Drucker, insider operation, who they did a three-part series with. So there they are admitting they did that. And then we know of another one because of sources, as this guy shot his mouth off in front of people. They don't know how many people we've got just everywhere. And so this is a big deal. So knowing that info, that's pretty amazing, isn't it, Norm?
It is, and who knows where this is going to lead. I mean, there's this concept called plausible deniability in intelligence work. So let's say, you know, the lawyers in the case had inside information they shouldn't have had. They're going to deny this.
That's why they say this mission doesn't exist, never existed. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's find out. I'm very interested in this.
Well, Zach Drucker and the SPLC screwed up because they said they sent him in to infiltrate and published three huge articles about it.
I think there's more that was involved in your shop. I don't know who the other person you're talking about is. I'm very curious to see where this leads.
Well, we know.
We should talk off air sometime. I don't want to be irresponsible here, but I mean, I've got, I just looking back on that whole experience, which was 3 or 4 very stressful years, it seemed to me that whatever move we made, they were prepared to say, no, you didn't make that
I was
move.
Told
you made another
by,
move.
I was told by the FBI a year ago that you got, and you already had this concern, you got hacked, and they even used an NSA facility to do it. And there was nothing bad about us, but that they hacked your files.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'd like to know more.
Well, this reminds me of the Chicago 7 and all the infiltration that happened there.
It does, me too. And the whole Proud Boys, InfoWars, the whole infrastructure of federal surveillance and manipulation of public opinion behind closed doors. This is what put Frank Church on the map and the Church Committee. This is why when they look back at the Warren Commission investigation, they concluded that there was probably a conspiracy. Where's somebody now in a position of congressional leadership to take the long view and summon a committee with serious teeth, serious commitment, and serious effort to take a look at what's going on in terms of infiltration of the right? We've got the Justice Department to do it now. The question is, do we have anybody in the House or Senate who's prepared to take a leadership role? And, you know, I was, as I said before, I thought Jim Jordan just played at the game during the Proud Boys trial. I watched that with a heavy heart, thinking he was in it more for headlines than he was for the truth.
Well, let me ask you this. I didn't trust Todd Blanche. Gosh, this is 8 months ago or so. And then recently they're like, no, we want to meet with you. We care about this. Well, no, we know. Well, yes. And then now separately, we have sources of the FBI separate from this saying, no, we are on this. We're going to indict a bunch of people. We got a bunch of stuff. Why else would they want to meet with me? Why else would they want the info? So should I meet with them? You've been my lawyer before. What do you think?
Yeah, but make sure you got a lawyer present with you, Alex. You know how it goes. You remember how it went before the House J6 committee? I mean, that committee was loaded for bear. They were trying to get enough information to indict you for a plan that didn't exist. And then you had, Rankin, the ranking member, criticizing you publicly for taking the Fifth when he was trying to bury you. I mean, you know, don't go anywhere without a lawyer, but I would say do cooperate, Alex. What do you have to lose? They have put you through the ringer, tried to extinguish you.
Well, that's my question. Why would the DOJ be wanting to talk to me about the SPLC if they aren't going after him? Is there any other reason?
No.
So that means
I mean, I don't know.
So that means the SPLC better. Well, what I was told by the DOJ over a year ago is they covered up well what they did to Trump, but they said, you're the low-hanging fruit. They screwed up. And then I was told by good guys I know are good, don't worry, the investigation is still going on. And I was just like, okay, whatever.
It was clear during the House investigation that you were a road to the Trump, to Trump, a vehicle to get to Trump. When they failed with you, they would have succeeded in taking you. When they failed to prove that, they would have succeeded in taking you or anybody else. Excuse me, I have a cold.
Everybody sneezes.
Anyone else
it's okay.
That you,
enjoy your sneezes.
Anyone else that you offered up. Be very, very careful, Alex. Be very, very careful. Not all sharks have fins. Some bite you under the table when you're not looking.
Well, no. That's why when Todd Blanche wanted to meet with me last year, I literally went on air and talked about it and told him F off. Maybe I was too harsh. All I know is that I am like, you've been around me. You know me a lot. I'm just a completely regular guy. When I'm done today, I'll go hang out with my family. I'm going to go see my dad. And my mom is, you know, off on a road trip with my two oldest daughters. Taking one of them to college, and I'm just a regular guy, and they kept, remember, like, we know you've got the Mercers funding you. We know, where's the documents? Remember all that, Norm? And I'm just like, please, Mercers, give me money.
If you had all the power that they thought you had, you'd pay them all the money they wanted, and we'd move on. I mean, that was a witch hunt, and you were the witch that got burned.
Remember, the New York Times later said, it turns out Jones always had meager finances, never had all this money they talked about. Had a few million bucks, but not billions. We'll be right back. Nora, I got more to ask you, and Kyle Serafin's coming up on this. Stay with us.
I'll tell you something right now that is one of the most, if not the most important things I've ever talked about on air, and I want you to really listen to me, and I want you to get a pen and paper out of your iPhone, out of your Droid, and type this into your notes, and I want you at lunch today or tonight or right now to just go to any search engine you want and type in two different names, two different words, okay? Two different drugs that have won Nobel Prizes, you name it, that people don't want you to know about. And one of those is ivermectin that everybody knows about. The other one that most people still don't know about is mebendazole. If you do the research, then it's important to understand that you need to get it from a pharmacy. You need to get it from a doctor. And we have a sponsor, and that's, of course, Bigly. And they went and they used the same service as, you know, the big web, RXs, and great people we've used that have been sponsors in the past. But this is Bigly doing it. And the key is it's real, it's pharmaceutical, and it is a very low price. People are selling knockoffs of it online without a prescription, and a lot of it's fake or a lot of it's watered down and adulterated. Because I did a regimen a couple years ago of mebendazole. We'll put that on screen. That's how you spell it right there. M-E-B-E-N-D-A-Z-O-L-E. And it didn't have any effect. I bought it off of Amazon. And then I did more research. And they said most of that stuff's fake. So I went and I got it from a doctor. And it was incredible. And my own medical doctor owns clinics all over the state of Texas. Had already been pushing it on me for years. And I just never done it. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get the two in a combo. The ivermectin and the mebendazole together. And they work synergistically together. It is certified and known, both of them, as incredible anti-parasite. Just search the term ivermectin, mebendazole, and just put in study and do your own research and see what the system has been suppressing about this. And this is something, in my view, talk to your physician. And when you go to the website, it's, you know, online pharmacy, and they've got nurses, doctors, all of it. And then you get the prescription. It's very, very easy to do. And I would recommend to talk to your doctors. My own personal opinion, what I do for myself is twice a year, I take a regimen of ivermectin and mebendazole. And it is incredible. People ask why I look so young while I'm healthy. Well, it's a cocktail of things. It's the ivermectin. It's the mebendazole that I take about twice a year as a regimen. Some people, my medical doctor says, take a little bit of ivermectin every week. But I tend to forget to do that. He's literally just to take like two pills a week as a supplemental. That's what my medical doctor tells me. You get your own medical doctor to tell you what you want. But the big thing they say is a couple times a year, a big dose, a big regimen. You talk to your physicians. You talk to the folks in the online pharmacy. Let me put it on screen for you. 1776RX, just 1776RX.health. This is one of the most important things you'll ever do, ladies and gentlemen. And despite the system trying to suppress this information, it's getting out everywhere. So do your own research. This is revolutionary. This is so important. 1776, just the numbers, 1776RX.health. Those are the coordinates, and it's a win-win to fund our operation and what we're doing. Take action now. The most important decision you'll ever make, 1776RX.health, and get your ivermectin, mebendazole right now, ladies and gentlemen. But whatever you do, go to the AlexJonesStore.com. These are incredible products. All these things work. They have sexy names. IRCMOS, Shilajit, bovine colostrum. Oh, research bovine colostrum and then find out we have the best. Oh, research IRCMOS. We have the best. Research Shilajit. We have the best. We just bring you things the bad guys don't want you to know about at TheAlexJonesStore.com and, of course, at 1776RX.health. Take action now. Thank you so much for your support.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right, Kyle Serafin's going to ride shotgun with us a little bit in the next hour because we've got a lot of big FBI Cash Patel developments. We've got President Trump just put out a new video and report on his promises kept. Serafin wants to get into that, comparing it to his previous promises. It's all coming up. But Kyle Serafin's a very respected FBI whistleblower. Who just exposed so much that's now come out and been absolutely accurate. I talked to him in text last night and this morning, some on the phone, just about my conversations with the DOJ last year and this year, some of the information I've gotten that indeed they are looking at what happened, not just with the SPLC funding white supremacist groups and the new indictment with her reportedly living in with this guy and sending the money to herself and him, but also targeting and infiltrating groups. Well, I know that because they had a guy inside our operation named Zach Drucker who admitted in articles he infiltrated us and hacked into our surveillance cameras trying to find something bad because we have cameras in the hallways and entrances and found nothing because there's nothing going on. Pretty boring around here. It's a bunch of work and research. But it was just a bunch of him talking trash about us. But the point is, there's the admission, and we know the other guy who the infiltrator was as well. I haven't released that information yet, but we will be. We'll talk about civil lawsuits, but I want to get his take on that. But just normal talk, obviously, as more of this unfolds. I want to get the Proud Boys on. I want to get Erika Ontario. I want to get Joe Biggs on to get their take because they're targeted in this new information. I want to also talk to the Oath Keepers founder, Stuart Rhodes, who I know you also know well, but definitely, Todd Blanche says there's more investigations that, you know, they're doing more, expect more indictments. This is a real shot across the bow. I wonder why we haven't seen much action, real action from Trump's DOJ against the Democrat element of the deep state. But on this, we have. Do you have any idea why they decided to strike at the SPLC? Because it really is at the core of the deep state's clandestine operations against the American people.
Well, take a look at their deep pockets, and the superseding indictment listed them as being worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Billions.
You know, I had no idea that it began as a direct marketing tool by Morris Dees. Well, and he's out of the picture now. But the SPLC is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. One of the things where they really have a problem is they used cutout corporations to launder this money that they were paying to people. They'd have people go into banks and say, my name is Jane Doe. I'm operating the Reebok shoe company. I'm a sole proprietor and I want to sell shoes in my town. That was just a cover story that they used to get the banks to open their accounts to them. They were funneling money to informants through that. And so I think that, you know, the SPLC thought it could work with impunity, because who isn't against love, right? You know, and the SPLC portrays itself as a group all about social justice. But I think what we're learning is all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the rule of law is always merely optional to an extremist. And the SPLC takes an extreme view of extremism and takes an extreme view of inclusion and concludes that anybody who's not with its mission is somehow evil, and they feel the ends justify the means. So I think the Justice Department has focused on them now because of their enormous wealth, and because they were sloppy with what they did, and they left a paper trail figuring nobody would look.
Well, you're absolutely right, Norm. And then coupled with this, we put this out over a year and a half ago, just doing our own lawyer research here in Austin. Millions and millions of dollars directly from the DOJ to the Sandy Hook foundations that then gave the exact amounts 1 week after, over and over again, to the law firm that is mobbed up with Blumenthal and the DOJ doing that. And then now we have this SPLC lady that's been indicted. She's been at the very top of it. And she was one of their advisors, was going to be one of their special witnesses, one of their fact experts. Can you briefly talk about that?
Yeah, so, you know, in a trial, there are two types of witnesses, fact witnesses, those who testify about what they perceived or experienced, and then expert witnesses. And an expert witness is a person who, because of their skill, education, training, or experience, can offer opinions about observations. Ms. Byrick was offered as an expert on extremism, and I wasn't sure that that was going to be a relevant topic in your trial, but we did take her deposition and learned that she has a PhD from Purdue, had run PLC intelligence unit, whatever that meant, for a while, and had also participated in the House investigation of the Proud Boys. So she had made a tidy career out of investigating groups that she disagreed with. And those groups included the Proud Boys. Those groups included you. And, you know, how deep those connections went, whether monies flowed that shouldn't have, I really don't know. I think we'll find out in months to come, and the Department of Justice is just the group to find it out.
Well, I can tell you, these reports from a year and a half ago, this has all been delivered to the DOJ. They have the documents, they have the video breakdowns, they have the PowerPoints, they have it all, and they got a bunch of stuff that's not been put out publicly yet. But I just learned that one group of the FBI did not even know about all this, so now they're getting it. So they're not going to be happy campers.
Well, you know, that was a common problem with COINTELPRO. I mean, you know, that was Hoover's baby, and he didn't let everybody know. There was a secret organization with the FBI accomplishing Hoover's objective, which was to disrupt the left. I think there was a secret organization within the FBI in yours and my recent lifetime that was designed to do the same thing to the right, and the SPLC was its I guess
cut
it's
out.
Sugar daddy.
Cut out.
It's money.
And sugar daddy,
source.
Exactly. It gets the money from government grants, and then it goes out to them so they do their dirty work. Norm, how do people find you online?
NormPattis.com. You know, always happy to hear from folks. Alex, it's good to see you again. Keep me posted on this. If I hear anything, I'll let you know. I'm certainly interested.
Oh, right. we're gonna hammer this. We've really got them here. This is like the Christmas sweater right. Where you get one string, you pull the whole thing out. Thank you, Norm. NormPattis.com.
Yes, sir. Be well.
All right. We're going to spend the rest of this hour, and then we'll get into other issues with Carl Serafin after that. Popular podcaster, FBI whistleblower, friend of the show. Kyle, you're just now ferreting into this and your sources, but I noticed the investigation they've got or the things that are going on aren't even aware of the fact that the SPLC published three articles admitting they put an infiltrator in our office and all the legal issues that come with that. But just in general, this SPLC lady, high-level lady getting indicted, reportedly living with the guy, sending millions basically to herself. Why do you think out of all the deep state places they could go, they went there? I think it's a great place to go. But just in general, I'm hoping that the Trump DOJ is growing some testicles or something, or what's happening?
I don't know about all that. That'd be nice to find out if that was true. The agents that are working on this case have been working on this case since Patel got in, since they were kind of given the opportunity to actually pull the reins off and go after left-wing extremism and left-wing money laundering. The crazy thing is, this is nothing new. So Alex, you mentioned the articles. I've got a couple of them up on my screen right now from SPLC. They have a whole category. They call it Hate Watch. And so that was when they were going after Proud Boys, and they were going after the guys that were in the Oath Keepers. They were going after you. There was any number of people that they had created as this sort of boogeyman for the political left. To be fair, I think the left does the exact same thing as the right in this country when it comes to the political establishment. I think the right wing calls out things like communism. That's not to say that communism is not a threat. It's just not the threat they make it out to be. So they have to play it up really big. They get donors to come in. And
sure, my point is I don't secretly get members of my organization inside people's organizations and give it to people while I'm being sued.
Right. Yeah, no, you're a great boogeyman for them. And so that's why they wrote pieces about you. That's why they pulled this thing up. I just was reminded, and I sent this over to your crew. There was an article that I contributed to. There's a woman named Carrie Pickett who works for the Washington Times. And she was one of the first journalists that I ever started speaking to. And I did so on condition of anonymity before I ever went and spoke to Daniel Bongino on his podcast. So before I had gone public with my name, I was talking to journalists behind the scenes. And one of the first things that I said, and I said it to her in this particular article, and I went back and just reviewed it. It comes from September of 2022. I said that the demand for white supremacy in the United States, this is by the political establishment on the left, and then also the sort of hangers on that go along with it, that demand for white supremacy vastly outstrips the actual supply for white supremacy. And because of that, they have to go to the well and they have to drum things up, create things up, and it turns out actually fund this thing. So they've been throwing money to the KKK, to neo-Nazis. They were going out there and trying to find out, if, can we get something to pretend like Alex Jones is worse than he really is? Can we find something damning or incriminating? Can we say that he's getting text messages that says that he lives in hell? And, you know, what can we do to try to get our donors behind this? And the crazy thing is that the FBI had a historical relationship with the SPLC, which goes back decades. Theoretically, by the time I got there in 2016, that relationship had been severed. They were no longer considered to be a reliable source of information, that their information was very partisan and it was clearly unbalanced and all that kind of thing. And yet it continued on. And my guess is it probably continued on. There's probably some governmental money going in, if not from the FBI, then from cutouts and so on. So they were clearly behind this. But a lot of this goes to the government wanted to find white supremacy. The Biden administration,
I haven't named the other informant yet. But he, before he quit, and the crew doesn't stir up trouble, so in the last few weeks the guy did it, and they were getting ready to tell me, he'd walk into the conference room and go, I hate N-words. And people go, we don't agree with that, why are you saying that? And he was literally recording them, obviously, but they were just desperate to find something. And,
right.
And he was jacking into computers and downloading stuff, just trying to find something. Just something.
So this is Alex, that's the real world version of what the FBI does online every single day, looking for so-called extremism, looking for, you know, any number of sort of either domestic or international terrorist capabilities. They did this to J6ers. The key is, can we find someone that's dumb enough to agree with whatever we say that's dumb? We're going to try to troll out there. And they're only there's an expression in law enforcement I learned.
They do the
right
same thing
the
with
academy.
Militias. They'll ask 100 guys, would you do violence? And so they find them.
They find the one guy. So the expression in law enforcement is, we only catch the dumb ones. That's kind of the general.
But the point
rule.
Is, I want you to go, but on this, but
they're
it's illegal to infiltrate me, though. Isn't it illegal to infiltrate me and do this to me and then work in a show trial against me and then publish a bunch of lies about me?
So it's crazy because this is the thing that the libertarians get really excited about. They get really amped up about the problem of the government can do that, but a private organization likely cannot because they're taking money in under good faith. There's certain requirements for spending that money, especially if it's a 501c3, even if it's a 501c4. There's things they can do and there's things they can't do. The government could easily infiltrate. They could do that. That'd be no problem, which should make people a little bit uncomfortable. That's why we always want to see checks and balances on government. But private organizations operating as though they are doing governmental ops, running these sort of source networks, paying things out through clandestine manners, they find themselves on the wrong side of money laundering laws, on wire fraud and things like this. So that's what the FBI is actually doing. Here's the crazy thing. That's what the FBI is designed to actually do. It's not meant to go and have Kash Patel claim that they dropped the homicide rate, which they don't actually investigate. The goal of having a real FBI would be that they do long-term, complex investigations that nobody else has either the balls to do or the capability
instead,
to do.
Instead, they do political stunts, like 97% of Muslim terror plots they hatch themselves. So
That's exactly right.
I mean, here's my deal. When I went and saw,
the reason this thing is going on right now, Alex, though, is because somebody got the people, the case agents that are working this, and I know, I don't want to taste too much, but I know people that are involved in this case. And the reason that they're able to do it is because the gloves were pulled off and they were like, you can do your job. And when given an opportunity to do their job, there are good agents in the FBI. Like, and I would never say otherwise, and I don't think anybody will ever find me.
So finally, why is something finally happening on this? I mean,
well, it's been working. That's the thing. But like, investigations take a long time, especially stuff like this. So first, you've got to get records. The response time on records is always going to be, you know, it might be 60 or 90 or 180 days before you get them. Then whenever you get these records, let's say you pull bank accounts, right? We used to do national security letters. So I did it national security side. You'd request them. You'd send off your request and then months later they'd show up and it'd be, you know, 5,000 pages of paper documents, or it would all be on a flash drive and they'd be, you know, numbered illogically. So you'd have to sort that, put it in and index it, figure out what the hell it is you got and what does it mean and which ones are duplicates. And so, you know, just the raw amount of actual work that has to be
done.
Follow,
you have to follow the due process, which is a good thing. I get it. The wheels turn
in
slow.
In theory, you're actually doing a real job. An investigation is not instantaneous. It doesn't get wrapped up.
Well,
in
let me briefly tell
TV
you what this
show.
One guy who I'm preparing to tee up soon, we're gonna sue him, everything else. So he's a camera guy. He works there like 3 years. And he goes and makes up all these stories about us and insane stuff later, but it was all just ridiculous. But once he quit, because I guess they're ready to activate him with his disinformation, people came in and they said, we didn't know what was going on, but I've got like engineers, software guys, people, you know, like Rob Dew, like most of my crew are like liberal hippies that woke up Democrats are bad and aren't like, I mean, these are the opposite. Like half the time they're down at the, you know, elephant room watching reggae playing. These are not Nazis. You've seen my crew. But the point is that this guy literally, once I saw the movie, One Battle After Another, which is another Lepus fever dream where the secret wall goes up and the white executives are all really Nazis. That's what this guy was doing the last few weeks or month. He's like, so I want to be let in on the Nazi stuff. I really hate the Jews and the black people too. I want to get them. And then people are like, dude, we're going to tell Alex your son. What is this? Well, I just hate N-words and stuff. But that's all they had. And they jacking into our surveillance cameras and trying to break into computers, like they break into a computer and they find the secret Hitler codes or something. It's like they were really believing we're doing this when they're the ones financing and funding the real Nazis. It's insane. This is cuckoo town. This is cuckoo town.
Alex, they didn't have real Nazis, so they had to fund the Nazis so they could continue on. This is the same problem. This is what weaponized government is, but if you were to take it outside of government, it gets even weirder and much more convoluted, because when you can't find the thing that you've built your career on their being, we're the group that opposes Nazis, and you're like, okay, well, who are the Nazis? And they go, well, it turns out there actually aren't any Nazis, or there aren't enough of them to actually matter and be any consequence, so we've got to fund the actual people who believe they're Nazis so they can get their recruitment up so we can continue to raise money on fighting the Nazis. This is the self-licking ice cream cone taken out of a Washington, D.C. context and moved into a nonprofit. And so, you know, and then they're a nonprofit. So there's all kinds of regulations on what they can and what they can't do. They have all this imaginary stuff. When you send in, FBI informants, whether they be a confidential human source, when you send in an undercover, they're looking for people that are dumb enough to do that reaction that you just mentioned. I'm looking for the information on the Nazis. Oh, you're part of that group. Like, you're one of us. Like, great. We'll read you in now as though that's real. Without the sort of without the understanding that when I was doing white supremacy cases, and we were doing them on a regular basis, they would send them out. They'd be like, this guy's a potential domestic terrorist. You'd go out and you'd observe him. It'd be a 22-year-old kid that's doing like racist posts on Reddit, you know, and he's wearing boat shoes and khaki pants and drinking a Starbucks latte. Actual violent extremists.
That's right. You said as a counterterrorism agent, you spent a lot of your time literally tracking bucktooth kids.
One of the dumbest ones I remember doing, there was a guy that he apparently was going to shoot black cops in Georgia, and he was an active duty military member. We surveilled him for 4 months, maybe, and it wasn't just my team. My team rotated in and out. They had a full-time surveillance team that moved from where they lived, full-time residence for 3+ months on, you know, TDY to a hotel. It's $10,000 per shift to do full-time surveillance like this, and they had 2 to 3 shifts on this guy for 3-4 months. So they spent millions of dollars to follow him around. He was a nobody in the military. He was a E4 or below. I'm going to be kind of vague about it. He had no ability to actually project force. He was still following the rules of his command. And then the best part was they actually sent an undercover agent at him, and the agent sat down with him and had dinner. And we, you know, we surveilled the meat at the dinner. We had mics in at the table and this kind of stuff. And they're like, so are we going to go kill the N-word cops or whatever? And he was like, I just want to kind of get out of the military and just like go get a girlfriend and maybe a job. He's like, I'd love if like some girl would like hold my hand or something. And they're like, yeah, but then we like kill the N-word cops, right? And he's like, maybe not. Like maybe one day, but like really, I just need to start like probably earning a living.
Incredible.
And so they would.
Is that the first time you shared that story? That's so powerful.
I mean, that one specifically.
Well, stop that. I want you to come on sometime and share these stories. So let me go back to one battle after another.
Alex.
Here's the white supremacist in their bunker meeting in a suburban house. Meanwhile, they think we're doing this when everything we do is on air. I say the most crazy stuff that's true. You want to know it's on the air, folks. You're a good assessor. You've talked to me. You know, there's no filter. Meanwhile, the SPLC is literally meeting and running the Nazis in the secret meeting. So they're saying we're that, but show the B-roll. They're the ones having one battle after another, actual meetings with the white supremacists and running them. So what they say right. We are is them. It's totally insane. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's confession through projection. I talk to people all the time. I'll go to conferences whenever I'm out in public and stuff. And they're like, oh, I think I've seen you on InfoWars. And I go, yeah. And they're like, you know, Alex Jones. I go, yeah, of course. Like we're on the show sometimes. And Alex will call me and he'll leave me a message. I was like, actually, I've got messages from Alex on my phone. They're some of my favorite things. It's easily the most fun thing that has happened since I've been in the public light. I'm not really a guy that wanted this. But one of the funniest things, Alex, is that I know for a fact that you're the same guy on and off camera because you're a wild man and you say wild things and some of them are really hilarious. Some of them are just kind of just what you do on the show. You're just the guy, like the guy that people think they know, that's Alex Jones. That's Alex Jones, folks. And when one of probably the most fun moments I had was sitting in your studios, coming in there when Chase was still with you. And the two of us were doing impressions of you in front of you, and you're just grinning at us, like looking at these idiots who are making light of some of the funniest things that you've said, because you do say funny stuff. You're an entertaining human being, and you're like that all the time. But you're not holding secret, you know, Nazi meetings in suburban houses somewhere in the unlocked basement. We live in Texas. There's not even basements.
No, but the point is that's the yes, just at the meetings. They've got her on the table gangbanging her.
Of course, this is what they would do. Because look, when you do nefarious, weird things, then you assume everybody else does. In the law enforcement world, sometimes we call it guilty knowledge. I had a buddy who was a street cop for a long time, and he would always try to teach new surveillance agents this. He's like, look, you're watching people for a living. You're sitting in your car, spying on other people, trying to build a criminal case on them, and you know that. So you cannot unknow what you're doing there. But nobody else looks in the car and goes, oh, I bet that's an FBI agent who's spying on me. What they do is they're like, what's that guy there? What's he doing? So when people come up to you and you act natural, you can get away with it. But you always have that guilty knowledge that inside your job is to hide stuff. And that's what these people were doing. They were hiding things. They were doing nefarious stuff. They were running the organizations that they were, or they were funding the organizations they were ostensibly trying to wipe out. But guess what happens if you wipe out white supremacy, Alex? You don't need an SPLC anymore. And there's a lot of money to be made in these businesses.
So, and by the way, again, I just remembered this. Let me throw it out before I forget. About 6 months ago, whenever this movie, One Battle After Another, came out, I played the trailer and I said, the SPLC and ADL, guys, find it. You got to archive. It's the first time I played the trailer. I haven't seen the movie yet. The first time I played the long trailer is that scene where they're playing Christ is King music, and then they roll in and that happens. I said, folks, when you go into an ADL or Southern Poverty Law Center meeting, they're actually running the white supremacists. This is actually their meeting. Oh, my God, that was powerful, because now that's come out. We've got to find that original rant and put that out. Sorry, Kyle, go ahead.
You're right. This is the craziest thing, though. I mean, it just turns out that if your entire grift, and we hear a lot about that word, it's always, you know, somebody's grifting this, somebody's grifting that. If your entire business model is we're in opposition to something that is going away. And I would argue that somewhere in the 90s, like real solid, ugly racism in the United States really kind of died off. It just kind of went away as I was coming into high school and I was kind of graduating and going into the world. It just wasn't the powerful force that it had been 15, 20 years ago. It was really backwards and archaic. And there were obviously a few pockets of it around where really kind of the deep-seated sort of organized racist organizations were still out there, but they were mostly lampooned. I mean, there were people, think about this. Dave Chappelle was making fun of a black Klansman, and the idea, the fact that you could even do that showed you that the Klan didn't have the power that it would have had. And so what do you do if you built your business model for four decades on this particular threat? Well, you got to go find the threat. And honest to God, they're doing the exact same thing the FBI did, which is that they said, we have this quote unquote threat. We've run out of the threat. So how do we create the threat? You can do one of two things. You can either go fund and create the threat out of nothing, or you can expand the definition of said threat, and then there's more things that are threats, so you now have more space. The FBI does both, by the way. And these guys were basically saying, well, we've really built a brand on being worried about hate, so we're going to expand the definition of what the hate is, and then we're also going to have to go fund the haters, because otherwise they're not going to be able to continue on, because they'll naturally die out, because it's not particularly interesting in a modern American setting. People
so let me ask you this in closing, and then I want to shift gears. Then I want to shift gears into the current FBI, the scandals, the insider trading. Where you see this going, you know, your view on everything, you can say a little bit the next hour, Kyle Serafin, KyleSerafinShow.com. But again, I go back to the same question because I really respect your view on this. Why out of all the deep state they could strike are they going here, which is a great place? I would actually start there. I mean, you're the one saying, well, I'm not sure about Todd Blanche, but a lot of good guys I know say he is good. I would love to believe that. Maybe I should have met with him. Maybe I should meet with him with you or something. He wanted to meet with me last year. I literally told him F off on air. But now I'm seeing this. I mean, why do you think they're going there?
Well, this is not new. I mean, first of all, they announced this a little while ago. The indictment is obviously new, but the investigation has been going basically since the Trump administration came in and the gloves came off for the agents that are running it. So this is what the FBI should be doing. This is what, you know, the guys that are running this organization or this particular investigation, they're 15 plus years of doing this. It takes a while to get this stuff working. You can have an authorized investigative purpose. You can have an opening, what they call an opening EC, where you open the case, but you don't go anywhere near it for 18 months, 24 months, 36 months. Historically, when the FBI did big cases, they've got to unravel the financial puzzle. They've got to go out there and do all the analysis on it. And the reason why you do something like SPLC is because there's money and there's criminal statutes that are violated. There's a lot of things
that
are done
wrong.
And
what I was told by the
America.
DOJ was they've been reckless.
Well, yeah, it sounds like it was a complete Wild West was the way it was described to me as far as the way they're running their funding. Look, if you got to have a violation that you can actually prosecute, and this is prosecutable. That's why.
All right, let's do five more minutes on this and then shift into the other stuff. The Kyle Serafin, incredible information. I tell you, I'm not saying this gives me hope, but it gives me a glimmer of hope. I mean, because these people are incredible. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now. and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Merry Christmas.
And of course, you know Roy Moore, 5th Fleet Field General from the Southwest.
Absolutely, sir. Good morning.
Take a seat.
So, what's cooking? How can I help?
Well, Tim, there's this troubling little rumor we've just heard. And we brought you in to see if you can help clear it up. I'm going to hand you over to Bill. I'll give you the details. Over to you, Bill.
All right. Tim, I'm going to get right to it. There's an unconfirmed report that Colonel Stephen J. Lockjaw...
I remember now. Whenever this movie came out 6-8 months ago, I hadn't seen the movie yet, but I played the trailer, which was this scene, and I said, this is what you'd really have in an ADL Southern Poverty Law Center meeting. And then it all came out. I just can't wait till we get that footage and combine it with this because it's so ridiculous. Kyle, I'm going to shut up now because I've been interrupting a lot. Finish up on this topic now, and I want to shift gears into the latest of the FBI and the other investigations and Cash Patel and where you see all that going. Kyle Serafin.
This is really a rich scene. The beautiful sort of woodwork in that room and the ducks, and it's like old white guys and they have money and they're wearing vests and the whole routine there. It's really rich because when they would put us on white supremacy cases, it was always really dumb kids. You know, they'd be broke as a joke. They'd be, you know, not have a pot to piss in, as my dad used to say, kind of thing. You know, they'd be living in somebody else's basement, which was not very nice. And then they would wander to 7-Eleven in their crappy clothes, like on foot because they didn't have a car. And it would always be like, yeah, they're going to do something super dangerous. And you'd be like, well, do they own any guns? And it's like, no. And you're like, do they have a car to go get to where they're going to do it? And they're like, no. And you're like, what do you think? They're going to steal a gun on the bus or something? And then they're like, how is this going to work out that this is the terrorists? How are these guys the bad guys? Are there really not any more, you know, violent? Meanwhile, we'd have, you know, an organized gang of bank robbers that would hit 16 banks in the Northern Virginia area. They'd hit one every single month and took millions of dollars, you know, and those guys were, you know, pointing guns at everybody. And they ended up we did that finally. And I remember seeing them. They only brought those guys in because they drove off a bridge in their, you know, SUV while they were fleeing from the police. But this is what this is the fantasy version of what they think that, you know, the evil white supremacists are all about. At the end of the day, it's broke people doing dumb things, saying dumb stuff. Hence, you had a multi-million-dollar operation, you know, tens of millions of dollars funding the threat that they could use to continue to raise money. The absurdity of this should not be lost on anybody. Whenever the government kind of tells you there's a threat, or whenever you hear something from people that sound kind of unhinged, and you don't recognize that you've ever seen that in your real life, like if you've never seen anything like this, because it doesn't exist, you'd go, yeah, that's not real. I mean, it's just, that's not a real threat to your life. Why on earth would
you sit
there and believe
somebody? Yeah, the real
white
guys are playing golf and figuring out how to manipulate stocks and do insider trading
and
gorge more money.
They're screwing you for cash.
They're screwing everybody.
Yeah, they don't care what color skin you have. They're just taking your stuff and they're selling houses to Indian people or something. Like, I mean, they're just not doing this because this is somehow some sort of like very sober, rational, long planned out, multi-generational racism. And like I said, I think that probably died in my lifetime when I was very young. And I've never once seen any version thereof, to the point where most people now that they would think would be in this room, they'd be screwing everybody. They'd screw you. They'd screw me. They'd screw all my neighbors. It's just, it doesn't make any
sense.
But
finishing my point is literally the only place they're in secret rooms meeting with the Nazi leadership is the espionage, banging them.
Yeah, well, that's where the market is. The market is how can this be capitalized? It can't be. There's no money in being a racist.
But wait a minute. Notice in the movie, the white supremacist leader is banging the black girl. Instead, it's the SPLC funding the Nazis banging them.
That's always the case, Alex.
So it's exactly. Oh my God.
All of the real, like, so-called, like, you know, white supremacist Nazi stuff, all the guys that we were going after for, like, what they called racially motivated violent extremism, the white supremacy cases, they all end up with, like, black girlfriends. I'm certain of it. I'm sure they all end up having little mixed babies and growing up like real people. It's very funny to watch it, because whatever it is that they're supposedly mad about is what they end up being attracted to in the end. Either the taboo of it, or maybe just God changes their hearts because he's got a sense of humor. But it... This is cartoonishly silly, and yet, of course, it had real damage, and people like you, and there's plenty of other people that were out there that were.
Oh, they wanted to cast me as Adolf Hitler 2.0. Both my grandfathers almost died fighting Hitler. I've read his books. I don't agree with Hitler. I don't like Hitler. Stop saying it. We'll be right back with Carl Serafin in 60 seconds. Stay with us. He's got other big news to break right now. Stay with us. We share the live feed at Real Off Shows on X. Looks like they're fixing the bugs. Good job, Elon Musk.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenazidil, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenazidil is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenazidil studies. Just put that into a search engine, and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Fortune tanto vulnera, sili latibus ocellis, fortune amici vulnera, sutra di prebellis.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
All right, so much of what we know about Biden targeting Catholics and Christians and going after parents at school boards criticizing transgenderism is Carl Serafin and the FBI whistleblowers he worked with. And since then, he's become, because he's trusted, a clearinghouse for other leaks, other information, and has been really, really accurate. The one thing he got wrong, I saw a post again yesterday with hundreds of thousands of views by the bots. Oh, he said Kash Patel would be out, whatever it was, 6 months ago. He's not. He didn't say he'd be out. He said, I heard he's about to be out. And it came out later, Trump was going to fire him, just like Tulsi Gabbard did it a month later. But regardless, Kash has in these scandals got a lot of trouble. I don't have some hard on for Kash Patel. Kyle will tell you he has that because he talked to him dozens of times and set him up and then told Senator Grassley he's bad while he told him he was a friend. But my biggest issue with Kash is saying, oh, no, Epstein wasn't a molester. It's all made up. He killed himself and then putting out edited videos and just everything else we've seen. I want to believe in Kash Patel, but just the update on Kash Patel. And then we've got a lot of other news here in developments dealing with President Trump and his promises. But just in general, what is your summation of the current state of the DOJ and the latest scandals, where this is going?
So every single time I talk to journalists on all sides of the aisle, Alex, I talk to people, you know, CBS, CNN, whatever, ABC, I don't, NBC, it doesn't really matter to me. Like, I'm willing to talk to anybody as long as they're, whenever we speak, unless we have rapport, I record them. Basically, that's the general rule. And as long as they don't lie about what I said, I don't really care how they use it. And so that happens on a pretty frequent basis. And I get people trying to fact check stories like, hey, have you heard anything about this? Is there any information on this? The one thing that is pervasive, every single person that I talk to that brings up Patel, they all ask me the same question. How in the hell does this guy still have a job? Because every one of them has gotten the same information I have from very different sources. The kind of people that talk to Kyle Serafin are very different than the people that talk to CBS or NBC or whatever else, MS Now. And they're all hearing the same thing. We all get the same info. Like, it comes out in places. People are like, oh, like, he's doing crazy stuff, or this is about to happen, blah, blah, blah. And then he still has a job. And all I can tell is that it seems like that Donald Trump has a very, very soft, weak spot for unlimited ass kissery, which is what Kash Patel is, I guess, an expert at. That clip that you guys were playing some B-roll of, if you want to play the actual clip, it's a really great example of why I don't know how this guy continues to be in this job, other than the reason that you're getting what we talked about in the last hour is because he's not interfering with some guys that are at the lower level that are doing their jobs. All right. And there's always been a big disconnect. The brass of the FBI is a political organization, historically always has been. It sounds like they've been able to run some shadow ops for a long time, and they do things that have nothing to do with what the actual FBI does. The transactional work of the FBI is working against...
Hold on, before you go there, let's go back to when, whatever it was, 8 months ago, whenever it was, when you're like, I hear he may be fired. You were clear
he
may be.
Yeah, I get calls all the time.
And then they said, oh, you said he'd be fired. He wasn't. What was going on then?
So there were three or four different reporters that had reached out to me and said, hey, I just heard that he was fired. I heard it from somebody else that was inside the FBI headquarters. So, you know, these kind of the fastest thing in the world that happens is what's called rumint. And I can't confirm it, but I actually think that there may be something to be said about us talking about it and other people even bringing it up, whether it be on X, other, you know, journalist types bringing it up, et cetera, that the White House decides to try to, you know, punk them by saying, yeah, we were thinking about doing it, but now we're going to hold on to him. Because as much of a clown as he's really made himself to be, and this clip that you guys will listen to in a second will point out one of the things I'm talking about. He's ineffectual. He's inarticulate. He says things that are foolish. They don't mean what he thinks they says. He cheers himself on for things that are not the FBI's business, etc. But he's not damaging Donald Trump. And so he's, you know, I don't think there's no cost to the White House to hold on to him. It's not like Trump can run again. And it's not like, you know, I don't hear anybody on the political left screaming about his massive effectiveness. So he's kind of this neutral. He goes out there and touts things that are not the FBI's business. The only thing that I get regularly right now, and it comes from FBI agents, comes from people that cover the DOJ, et cetera, is this weird partnership with China that he's been out there cheering on. That's actually really scary. I sent it to a recently retired agent who spent 15 plus years working counterintelligence against the Chinese. And he said, oh, my God, he was like, are we actually doing that? We're sharing information with the Ministry of Public Safety. And it's like, well, that's what they put out in the graphic. So that's the only thing that really looks kind of damaging. Otherwise, he's just kind of this buffoon. He runs around. And I've heard it from sources on the left and sources on the right now, where people just go, are you hearing the same thing, that work is not getting done? The big cases are not moving. And the answer that I keep getting is yes, they're not moving big cases. So you've got assist with local law enforcement. You got Patel basically taking credit for the work of your local cops who are on federal task forces and so on. But the work is getting done at the local level. But the really big operations, like what you're seeing with this SPLC case, that's what the FBI should be doing. You know, a dozen of them in every field office. They're called career cases. People have to work one of those for, you know, like a third of their career. And then they basically ride out and brief it for the rest of their career. It's not a good way of doing business, but that's kind of how the FBI has always worked. You work one big case. It might take 6 years. It might take 8 years. And when you land it, then you spend the next 2 years running around to headquarters and all the other field offices saying how great the case was and how you ran it and however, you know, people could run the same kind of case. And then they promote up. That's kind of the trajectory of people that do really good casework. And then they want to get out of it and do something else. We're not seeing that really good casework going on. It's just not there. And it seems like most people are just trying to keep their heads down, because every instinct that I've heard from folks that are at the management level and then folks that are at the field office level, like the, you know, like the brick agents, is that they think Cash is temporary, that whatever the stuff he's doing is really dangerous for people's careers for now. But even the people that he's fired, and there are a dozen plus lawsuits right now of former agents who have sued Cash and then, you know, obviously the FBI, DOJ to get back into their jobs. I think they're all going to end up being successful. And apparently he's even admitted this behind the scenes. He's like, yeah, it may be that these terminations are unlawful and that we violated federal employment law, but we're just going to get them out for now. And like, they'll get their jobs back later. And so be it. So all of the things that he's doing are sort of temporary. They're fixable. These are these like people being put on, you know, involuntary vacation with back pay pending in a year or two or three, or worst case scenario, these people get their jobs back in 2029, whenever the next administration comes in.
But obviously, let me ask you this question, because you said this when he first got
a time.
Let me interrupt you, because you're making great points. But when he first got approved, you said, I think because he perjured himself about not knowing Stu Peters with dozens of interviews and all this, I think they're waiting to use that as dirt against him and Trump won't know. Clearly, I think that's something that's intelligent that we should look at. I don't know if that's what's happening, but you see these big congressional reports every few weeks. Oh, my God, he's using the plane for private stuff. Oh, my God, he's doing this and that. And then it goes away. So what do you think's going on behind the scenes with him? Because I don't want to just bash Patel to bash Patel, even though he betrayed you. I get it's personal with you, and I respect that.
No, I think he's ineffective, and that's the thing. He's not doing the thing that was said. Actually, okay, so there's a great...
So then why do they every few weeks bring up he's in deep trouble and put out the bad stuff he's doing? Is that to remind him of what they've done, or to cue him up for... Because I'm predicting with good probability that when they do lose the midterms, if we do, Kash Patel will be teed up then.
I think so. I mean, I thought so earlier, though. I can't believe he's held on as long as he has. Like I said, I hear.
So let me go back to the question because I don't know the answer. Why do they tee him up and show it and then not do something?
So the teeing up is being done by the left-wing media, generally speaking. Again, and I have plenty of contacts there, and I speak to people pretty friendly. I know there are people that don't want to talk to those organizations, CBS, ABC, NBC, etc. I don't have any problem with it because I'm not a Republican, and Fox News is not my jam. And so I'm willing to hear information if it's in, you know, if it's interesting.
No, I mean, it's good to put pressure on government in general.
Right. Those people in those organizations, generally speaking, are wildly offended by who Kash Patel is. They had friends that lost jobs. They had sources that were, you know, feeling threatened. They think the institution that is the FBI is a net good. I disagree with them, but we can do that, you know, in a polite way. So they're trying to affect change. There's no question about it. First of all, Patel gives them a lot of ammo. So he'll do something dumb like use the jet inappropriately, or he'll show up and say some stupid thing. And when he does, they go like, oh, look at this crazy thing he's done. You know, he was at dinner while they were talking about Charlie Kirk's assassination. He is saying that they've got him and he's tweeting it out. Meanwhile, they don't have the shooter in custody and all the kind of things that went along. All those little moments are like pounce operations by the political left and the left leaning media. So that's one thing. But it seems like the Trump administration is happy to just go, well, we hate the media. So we like you more than we like them. And so get in line. And there seems to be some nominal punishments. I had somebody report the other day that he sat at the White House for the whole day. He just sat in a chair by himself. The FBI used to call that tactic the dunce chair. That's where you'd put somebody in a chair outside of the director's office at FBI headquarters. And they would just sit there all day and nobody would talk to them. So they'd get called in from, you know, across the country. They'd have to sit there in the dunce chair and then they would wait. And then at the end of it, they would know that their career was basically over and it was time for them to, you know, put their retirement papers in. And so they did. But Patel has nowhere else to go. What else is he going to do? I mean, he doesn't have a skill set that's
particularly interesting. Wait, are you saying they're giving him a hint to go?
I think they're just putting him in the timeout and letting it. And he serves his punishment. And then his job is that you'll notice every single public appearance he has, every single media appearance he has, about 30% of the things he says are fluffing up about how great Donald Trump is and how everything that he does is a reflection of how awesome Donald Trump is. If you guys play the clip I sent over, you'll
hear. Yeah, let's play the clip.
He does it instinctively. I call it knob slobbery. It's not a nice way of saying it, but that's what he does every single time. So he's, you know, he's a net positive for Trump's sort of attitude.
All right, here's the clip.
Mm-hmm.
President Trump's mission to make America safe again as he campaigned, he is delivering on that promise. And it is such an honor to be here in Nassau County back in my home when he's about to walk on stage and give you the latest update on the statistics. And they are not just statistics. I've spent 10 years working for President Trump. He reads about each and every case that we work on. He feels the pain of those that have lost loved ones. He does not let it lay aside. He takes it home with him. He demands that myself and our amazing Attorney General Todd Blanche go to work every single day to make sure that American lives are safeguarded, that no more of our kids are harmlessly and recklessly annihilated by opioids or by illegal immigrants or by gangsters or narco traffickers. President Trump, you have succeeded in restoring law and order to the precipice it should be on. The men and women in law and order across this country have partnered with the federal agencies, including the FBI and our prosecutor partners at the Department of Justice, to apprehend twice as many violent offenders in the last 16 months as they did in the last 2 years of the Biden administration alone.
During that, I was watching you on the other screen. You were laughing. Why were you laughing?
Because he said Donald Trump has restored law enforcement to the precipice that it belongs on. The things he says are just words. Like he's almost as bad as Kamala Harris when he just strings together things that are nonsense. He said, we don't want people who are dying restlessly from fentanyl. It's like, these words don't mean, didn't listen to the words and you were just listening to the cadence. It sounds like,
yeah, he doesn't know precipice means on the edge of a cliff.
Yeah, that's right. I was dying this morning when I listened to that. I go, wait a minute, we put law enforcement on a precipice? That seems like a bad spot to be. That's a real risky, you know, he doesn't understand.
By the way, that's a good way to say it. Trump went from trying to save the country to putting us on a precipice. In fact, I love people that say, oh, you're wrong for backing Trump. You're an idiot. No, Trump did really good compared to the Democrats until, what, about a year ago? Do you agree with that, I think? I've heard you say it before. Yeah. But now with more hindsight, when did he go sideways? Why?
Okay, so we've talked about this a couple of times, both on and off air. It seems to me that sometime in July. So the Epstein files were closed on July the 7th. of 25. And there was some sort of sea change that took place. We don't know why. Maybe you do, but I don't. I don't know why. I don't have any access.
It seemed to be Epstein, but I don't know. I can't say I know.
Well, it was clearly related to, you know, the things that were happening in D.C. at the time, and Epstein was one of them. But there's a link that I sent your guys, and it is it's from the White House. The White House actually announced mission accomplished. Kind of like, you remember George Bush dropped that on the ship? And he said, you know, we're like, it was at the beginning of the Iraq
War. Yeah, he had a big banner on the aircraft carrier saying mission accomplished.
It was in 2003.
It's like President Trump has kept his promises. Yeah.
Okay, so these are the promises. Okay, this is what's called Agenda 47. If you're watching right now, if you're listening, you're missing it. But
yeah, so you have the original promises versus what he just put out. So this here it is.
Well, what you're seeing there that you have, that White House document, that came from July of 25, right when the pivot happened, within a week or two of it. So sometimes we can kind of narrow in on things and see what's going on. They claimed promises made, promises kept in July of last year. So they were 6 months into the administration, and they basically did the George Bush mission accomplished. We did all the things. Now look at some of the crazy things that they said they did, because they're insane to me. Number two was that they were going to have the largest deportation operation in American history. And then look at what the White House claims in July of last year. They're like, we're deporting some people. Apparently, we've lost the idea that it's the largest deportation operation and that people imagine that tens of millions of folks were going to get kicked out of this country, because that's what we expected to happen. But apparently we didn't care about that. They just said, we need to claim victory now. We're prematurely claiming victory despite only getting maybe, including self-deportations, like 2.5 million people out in 2 years. So what are they doing with that? There's another one, number 19, which is kind of amazing. And if you look down there, number 19 was the promise that they were going to secure the election. And they actually claim promises made, promises kept, that they actually secured the election because Donald Trump issued an executive order that has the force of nothing. No paper ballots, no same day voting, no voter ID nationwide, no proof of citizenship. That's what the promise was, that they were going to get it done. That has to be done by legislation, which comes out of Congress. We found out that the Senate has no appetite to do it. The House keeps doing this like nonsense where they attach it to stuff and send it up. But the Save America Act does not have any legs. And you got people like Mike Lee out there claiming it's done.
And we're going to play this clip in a moment. But here I am. I watch what they point on Truth Social. It's Trump yesterday or 2 days ago, 2028, we will win. And then it's him with George Washington. People go, God, he's incredible. Look how good he walked down the stairs. I'm not trying to be a Trump basher, but this propaganda is falling on deaf ears. The poll numbers, he's at 30% now. We are screwed the midterms, and they just pump this slop at people. And I'm like, what the hell do they think they're doing?
So, Alex, there's obviously a market for that slop. That's the thing that really bothers me. And I spent my morning podcast kind of going through the slop part of it. Bannon has gone out and said it. He said there's five different ways, and I expect Donald Trump to be, you know, reinaugurated as president again in January of 29. It's like, are you guys effing crazy?
So let's go slow. Let's go slow. We got plenty of time. We want to go over the next break. That? What is up with the 2028 run thing? Because when I said he's talking about it, people said, you're a traitor, he's not, your scum. Now they're like, no, support 2028 or you're a Qatari agent. What the hell is going on with him saying, yeah, 2028, we're going to win, posting on Truth Social over the weekend? What is that?
I think it is the most common thing we see Republicans do, is that they don't want to actually be in charge. They just like running. They just like campaigning, and they just like making promises. So that gives us another thing to look forward to. We just need more time. It's a troll. That's what Donald Trump was always really good at. And he's funny when he does it. Like, Trump is a very amusing troll because he gets people really like locked into it. Well, that's cute and funny if you're doing that and you're kicking ass and you're getting your agenda done. If you tell me that your agenda was done in July of last year when you were in office for 6 months, and then you start a war and affordability is trashed, and you're telling people you're not going to apologize for gas prices, and it's not, you know, the nuclear weapon system that doesn't exist that we annihilated with Operation Midnight Hammer, which, by the way, was also July of 25. So all these things seem to have changed. You can't be a troll if you're not kicking ass. If you're out there taunting the enemy and you're losing, you're a fool.
Well, that's the point I just made. It's not working. And by the way,
yeah, it's not cute.
Dude, J.D. Vance, like 10 months ago, saw the head of Rasmussen polling on and brought him there for a briefing and warned Trump he didn't listen. These are internal Republican polls, so it's not hype to all the white pillars. We're in deep trouble. I mean, I know the Democrats.
That's why Carolyn Leavitt left, to be fair.
Let's talk about that. Talk about it. No, exactly.
She's 28 years old. She's pretty. She's young. She's capable. She's a good talker. She's been basically doing a lot of cover for the Trump administration as best she can. But at some point in time, she's probably seen whatever the internal polling is. Now, people were like, oh, you're just being a jerk. Like, she went home to take care of her baby. She said it's about family. If she was really interested in family, she's a multimillionaire married to a 60-something-year-old man. She has no need to work at all. She could not work. When my wife got pregnant for the first time, you know, over 9 years ago, she said, I don't like working. I want to raise my babies. She's never gone back into the workplace. That's a choice.
But Kyle, I don't need to speculate. I've been saying for months, I have White House sources. Almost all of them disagree with Trump. They say he's out of his mind. I'm not trying to undermine him. I have a responsibility to tell the truth. Folks, the people are leaving the city. All the insider trading.
Here's how we know she left. Listen why. She had a baby. She rushed to get back to work, Alex. She was back for a little while, and now she's going to go back to her baby and she's going to leave. She never needed to come back from maternity leave. If you were so dead set on raising your baby, because that was the reason, you would say, look, I've had the second child. It's changed my world. I'm overwhelmed and I want to be part of my kid's life and I don't want to go back to work and I can afford not to. And I'm going to set the example for conservative women. I'm going to stay home. She didn't do that. She went back to work and then she walked away. And I think it's because this Iran war has been a millstone around the Trump administration's neck. Young people who would otherwise want hope are now looking at socialists because they're like, well, you guys are effing us over. So if you're going to F us over, we'll go to the other idiots who are saying.
And that's my point to the white pillars. They think mindlessly supporting Trump fixes it. It makes it worse. What are they going to do when the Democrats win the midterms? What's going to happen to the white pillars then?
Either they're going to be really mad at us because it's our fault, or they're going to keep doing, you know, like this is the perpetual sort of like unfalsifiable premise that this is all part of the plan. And, you know, there's it's plan trusters and copium types and the whole thing, listening to it, like watching the internet cesspool makes me sick. So every time I get to go out, just walk around regular people have no idea what's going on. They know that gas is expensive. They know that their groceries is crazy expensive. It's not getting any better. They know they can't afford to buy a house if they don't own one already. If they didn't buy one 4 or 5 years ago, they're sure as hell not going to do it.
And Trump just did it again where he said, "Don't worry about your gas. It's a little bitty price." And he says, I don't care about your plight.
Pump gas in forever.
Why is he doing that?
I don't know who's advising him.
And his own advisors go, screw you. $20 burritos, big deal. I mean, like if I was Podesta, I could possess Trump to hurt himself. He's doing it.
Yep. Yeah. Somebody said this is, you know, our first experience of when they study what happened during this time, Donald Trump will look like the first mad president of the United States. There have been worse presidents, no question in my mind. But the messaging that he's doing and the things that he's saying, when you say that we're in the golden age and it's just your mindset and your mentality, like it doesn't change the fact that when I was working for the federal government, I owned a beautiful home in New Mexico and I had a job. I make more than I made when I was there and I can't afford to buy my old home today. I lived in. So that tells you everything about it. You cannot go back to the situation and that was in 2022. So 4 years ago, I'm unable to buy the same house that I used to live in because the payments are twice what I pay in rent. And I live in
I never had the hundreds of millions they claimed I had, but I had a few million bucks in the bank. And I'm really glad in a way that a little bit of money I have was taken away because now I have a very small budget. I literally have like less than $50,000 in the bank right now, which is fine. It makes me a budget and get it back into that.
It makes you a human being.
But then I hear like it's whatever, and I can look at it. I'm like, no, affordability is an issue. Like this is a big deal.
And think about the people that are saying that it's not, like some of the slot peddling garbage that's out there, whether it be in the online space or whether they be in the commentators. A lot of these people made bank on some of these rug pulls on the crypto. So they're living in a completely isolated, insulated world. And their entire brand is tied into, we need to talk about how great Donald Trump is. The amount of people that have made their industry, like made an industry of Donald Trump, it doesn't have to be worship, but just Donald Trump sycophancy. It's
worship, Kyle. It's worship.
I hate using that word because it turns people from looking at themselves critically. But yeah, I mean, it has all the things. I wondered the other day out loud, are we going to see like a mass national level Jonestown experience when it all just like what happens when President Newsom steps in 29? And I'm saying that in kind of like a way to shock people into it is I don't think elections are real because we're supposed to secure them. And I know we didn't do it with an executive order. So why would anyone assume that everything is going the right direction when none of the things that you voted for are actually getting done?
So Kyle, do one more segment. Power. Let's look into the future. What potentially we're facing, President Newsom. I mean, that's a real possibility, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Because the election fraud not being dealt with, or perhaps people will actually vote for him. We'll play these clips right ahead. Kyle Serafin, stay with us. We'll be right back on Alex Jones. Share the live feeds now.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast.
That's usually when it matters most to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. The top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That's not a promotion. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call, and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900. And let us help you make room for what matters most.
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot. Where,
oh, I've said that. But the other day when I had you guys coming on, I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat, you're your own enemy. He does that to guests. He's like Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, but didn't really, wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globals are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene Blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, getmasterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs. That's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
It's completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff. It brings in the key C minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like this.
Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff but doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah, yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
By the way, if you're a TV viewer and you see all these stacks of news here, these are not props. I either read or scanned over every single one of these last night today. My family gets mad at me for hours. I mean, talking 5-6 hours locked in a room. I'm obsessed with it. But don't worry, even though I don't cover a lot of this, when I give you my projections and what I think is happening, I've been looking at all this. But after Kyle leaves us in about 15 minutes, I'm going to plow into at least five or six of these stacks. These are insane level developments, including the second wave of the Islamic invasion of Spain. I mean, I've never seen anything like this, okay? I mean, wait till we hit that. There is so much here. But Kyle, looking at all of this, I have a clip of Ben Shapiro I want to play on what you respond to, because as I know in your own show, I watch it when I work out and stuff. Usually the clips, but sometimes I actually watch the whole show. I'm a fan because I have a lot of knowledge, so I know you have a lot of knowledge. I can tell I learn stuff when I look during your show, because I know, well, this is all true. I know that's true. Well, is that true? And then it comes true. So you definitely are a teacher for me, and that's what I'm looking for. The guests we have on all the time are the people that have a track record of being accurate that I continue to point out. That's why they have to, like, find some place where we were halfway not exactly right, even though you didn't say what they said, so they can just celebrate. Oh, look, we found one thing. The difference is the corporate media is trying to lie to you on purpose. We're trying to get you to learn how to catch fish, not feed you fish. I'm trying to get people to understand how things work, because to me, that's the thrill of life. So we have Ben Shapiro. I'm not trying to even single him out. With just get married, have kids, everything's fine. Tucker Carlson and all these other people, by extension, you and I, we're just being doomers. No, we have one-sided deals with mega corporations selling our jobs out, coming with regulations. We have the DEI saying don't give white men jobs officially to be police or whatever. Don't give scholarships to white men. And Ben Shapiro doesn't say that's wrong, get rid of that, like Tucker or you do. They say, no, it doesn't exist. Meanwhile, we have all these fundamentals. Then Trump says we're already in the golden age. The inflation isn't a problem. I don't think about the average person's economic flight. I think about war. Even if he thinks that, you don't say that, which shows, I think, he has some beginnings of frontal lobe dementia, which means he still thinks he's still smart. He can still drive your kids to school. He can still run a company, but he has decisional mistakes. He jumps back and forth. Anybody that's seen the beginning of dementia, it generally begins with a lot of bad decisions, flip-flopping, and things like that. So here's Ben Shapiro over the weekend at their Daily Wire event. And everything he's saying is true about be optimistic, get married, do all this. But he leaves out, we have to politically be upset and get these things fixed that are discriminatory and that are making it untenable. This is their mindset. I want to get your take just in general about where the real economy is, because you can gaslight us all day and tell us it's great. It's not. Here it is.
There is a reason that these folks on the horseshoe right are promoting Putin or Iran, have guests on who promote Hitler. According to these black pillars on both the left and the right, America has fundamentally betrayed its own population. Young people can't get ahead. They can't afford an apartment. They can't find somebody to marry. They can't have kids. People like the people in this audience are completely enervated. There is nothing you can do. Your life is doomed to failure because all of the systems are arrayed against you. And the good news for you is that you have no responsibility for anything in your life. Right? You bear no responsibility for any of your own decision-making because it's too late for you. You've already been stabbed in the back by a nefarious cadre of evildoers, all of whom can be identified simply by finding who's successful, and you guys, because presumably you're young and therefore unsuccessful, you have become the victims. Just give all your power over to the black pillars. Just buy their Alp, buy some nicotine pouches, and everything will be all better. Nothing solves problems like Indian-made nicotine. Now, none of this is true. None of this is true. The vast majority of people who grew up in poverty in the United States do not end up in poverty. In fact, 98% of people in the United States who fulfill three basic conditions end up not being poor. Get married before you have kids, graduate high school, get a job. That's it. And listen, while I am a lot older than I was when I started doing this, I was 17 when I started doing this, I'm 42 now, I start off with no wife and no kids, and I have a wife and five kids, so it's been a while, but here is the thing. There is nothing that I did that you cannot do. You can do all of those things because you have the greatest privilege in the history of mankind. You live here. America is awesome. And if you fail, there is probably a 95% probability that you did something wrong and you should change your decision-making process. I know. Listen, I don't sound when I say this sort of stuff. People don't like it sometimes when I say this sort of stuff because I'm not your friend, okay? I'm not going to come along. I'm not going to tell you how tough your life is and how bad I feel for you because I don't give a shit. Okay, here's the thing. I care enough about you not to lie to you. I care enough about you to tell you, as perhaps your parents would, that the best way for you to be successful in life is to make good, responsible decisions, and that all of those things are available to you. You can find a good man or woman, and you can get married.
All right, let's stop
you
there. So I could go 10 hours on this, but I'm nothing against Indians, I'm just being honest. 80% of the special work visas, skill visas that are coming in, H-1B visas, are from India. And like 75% are from one region. They only hire Indians from there. It's very tribal. And if you look at big tech, they brag, we're not going to hire you if you're white, black, not Indian. How do we deal with giant billion-and-a-half populations that are very tribal? That's just one issue. I'm not singling out the Indians. And then sit there and act like major universities won't give scholarships to whites that have the highest scores. And then he just says, pull your bootstraps up. This is so disingenuous. What do you say to that, Carl Serafin?
I say that it costs between $100,000 and $200,000 to get Ben Shapiro to come. Whatever he has to say is completely out of touch. I don't know if Ben Shapiro pumps his own gas, but I know I do. And I'm a regular guy that did everything right. And we got screwed, backtracked on what he said, but he was out there telling people you were a dope and dummy if you got the shots. So if you failed, let's call it the biggest national, international IQ test where a psyop for $1 trillion was focused in on you and you came up with the wrong answer, either because you're a disingenuous actor or because you're too dumb to see through it, then I don't really care what you had to say. Ben Shapiro lost me. I used to listen to Ben Shapiro's podcast. It was one of the few that I regularly did. I like that he speaks quickly. I like that he's smart. I like that he's articulate. I think that he's very, he's fleet when he speaks. But Ben Shapiro's never had a real job.
But that shows he knows what he's doing. But that shows he knows what he's doing.
He's a smart guy. Look, Ben Shapiro is very bright. Okay. He's made a lot of money talking about something. First, he was Mr. Opposition for Donald Trump when there was business there. Now he's Mr. Pro Donald Trump and everything is great. And all of it turns to be really cynical when you start looking that he was on the side of big pharmaceutical companies. He's gone out and backed gambling companies and he's making fun of people for selling a lot of medicinal benefits.
Now,
that
he, says
have.
Troops, now he says troops sign up to die. Now he's for World War III.
Of course he is. Yeah. So anyway, Ben Shapiro is not somebody that I think is credible. He is correct that you should make good decisions, but that's not the entirety of it. And he was correct when he said that America doesn't guarantee you success. It only guarantees you a shot of the journey. That's true, except some people get success by coming to America, and that's been the problem. If you can show up from India and get special deals, if you can show up here when you have no business to work in our country and you're taking jobs that should otherwise go to Americans, and I don't know what else you call them, but like native-born Americans, heritage Americans, American Americans. I have this concept, Alex, that I keep floating out to people, and it resonates really well. It's called the bacon cheeseburger nationalist, because I don't need you to be Christian per se. I need you to participate in the dominant culture of America if you want me to be part of whatever you're about. And that's really simple. You need to eat a cheeseburger, and if you have a choice, do you want it to be a double cheeseburger? The answer is yes. Do you want cheese on your burger? The answer is yes. And given the opportunity for bacon or no bacon, the answer should be yes.
And he and Vivek Ramaswamy have both said that Americans are lazy and dumb, which in the aggregate isn't true. So they're elitists that are for the colonization.
Americans are crazy hardworking people. That's true. There are plenty of people who are lazy in every generation when they're younger. There are plenty of people that have been given, they've gotten a bad rap. But people drag themselves out except when the game is worked against them. If it looks like you could dig your way out of the problem, then people will dig. If it looks like there's no way to do that because your president says, I'm not taking a salary, but what I am going to do is rug pull you for a couple of $1 billion in crypto scams, then you start going, I don't know. You're going to lose people who would otherwise be like, I want to have a wife. I want to have children. I want to pay my own debts. I want to, lift myself up. I want to work hard and have eventual success. The only thing that has to happen there is that the eventually long, hard work has to, generally speaking, result in success. And what people saw during COVID is that if you make a choice that is not part of whatever the dominant orthodoxy is, then you can be canceled. And so whether it was in, building a media brand, or whether it was that you were a doctor or a lawyer or you were a nurse.
That was the introduction to the social credit score. They admitted that.
They showed you that you had to do what they said, or we will remove your ability to make a living and we will let you die. We will let your kids die. And I experienced it. I know you did as well. But I had a job that I spent a decade getting and they kicked me out and I had to sell my house and I haven't owned a house since. I haven't been able to work in my chosen field. All I wanted to do was find fraudsters who were doing evil stuff. Alex, when I was leaving the FBI under the previous administration, I applied for a 1811, a special agent criminal investigator job with the VA, the Office of Inspector General. There was no clearance requirement. There was no it was remote work a lot of times. And the guys basically showed me my desk after we did a 4-hour interview. It was supposed to be 30 minutes. And they're like, basically, you're hired. You're the only GS-13 that wants this job. You're it. Plus, I had 10 points.
And you just wanted to help veterans.
All I wanted to do was find fraud against the United States government. And they have unlimited amounts of fraud. Like, it's like $500 million a year that go to,
$500 billion.
There's unlimited amounts of fraud. Yeah. And it was a great gig and they didn't let me get it because I said no to COVID. I said I wasn't going to get the shots. And I wasn't just like the guy who said, okay, well then I'll just put a mask on and I'll go back to work. They said, put a mask on. I said, no. They said, test every day. I said, no. So all the things, I was a no on all of that stuff. And there were a lot of us. I'm not alone in that. I'm not.
Because they don't want real guys. They don't want real guys in there.
They don't want people. Shapiro was the opposite of that. So him out there campaigning on behalf of, like, let's do hope. Yeah, that was true. I think the things that killed America probably happened 115 years ago. I don't think they happened recently. I don't think any generation that's alive today is to blame. But to recognize that the situation on the ground today in 2026 is not the same as when my parents were buying their first house or when your parents or their parents were getting their first house. I got a video of, I don't know if you want to show it, but of Chuck Grassley. You want to see how ineffective the Republicans are. You have people who have been in Congress for longer than I've been on the planet. You've got people that are in elected office that are now talking about, look, that's Chuck Grassley.
Play this in a moment. Before we play that, let me ask this question then. You're a smart guy. And I just say that for listeners. I mean, I really respect what you have to say here. Just because the Republicans are out of control and decadent and have gone sideways, and I agree, we should talk about what they're doing bad. They're in power, and they're doing the wrong things, but Democrats are going to win. What do you make of the Democrat Socialists of America and the big banker funding they have? House Majority Leader Steve Scalise says the Democrats have been taken over by Bolshevik Revolution. I agree, that's their new scare tactic, but it's a real thing they're pointing out. They're not really countering it.
Yeah.
By
yeah,
all this arrogant true. Statements against the working class, like suck it up, who cares, a burrito is $20. How do you respond to the Democrats taking over, the Democrats being taken over by the Democratic Socialists? And again, Trump has the exact opposite rethoric. Even if we're getting screwed, if he gives them a light at the end of the tunnel, says I care about you. He doesn't even do that now. Oh, you've been on an aircraft carrier 9 months? It's not long enough. Every statement is an arrogance, and it's coming from him, the worst possible statements. I already talked about that, but this is insane.
A real leader takes ownership of failure. Those are the people that you want to work for. When something goes wrong, a real leader steps up and says, it's my fault. The buck stops here. My choices led to this. I let you down and I want to fix it. And people always get a second chance. That's the most American thing in the world. You get a second chance if you own mistakes.
No. He knows Hunter Biden, why he's on an apology tour.
He's on a tour humanizing himself, saying, I've been a dirtbag. I've done a bunch of bad things. I'm going to own all my misdeeds and I'm going to do it with a sense of humor. And it's humiliating, but it's also fun for him because he's going to rehab his image to the point where people are talking about him as being a potential candidate of something. He's a freaking crackhead that was sleeping with his brother's, widow. That's craziness. So here's the problem. I've seen a ton of people say, I would take my vote back for Donald Trump. I regret my votes for Donald Trump. I am not one of those people. I think that's stupid because I saw what the alternative was. It was Kamala Harris. I think she's dumb. I think she's a dumb person who had no business being in
that
job.
And Trump was
like
different then. They always say that I was wrong. No, he did great until 16 months ago.
He said all the things that needed to be said, and the original momentum was going in that direction. So the right answer has always been the same. It's probably too late for the midterms, for whatever that's worth, because I don't even think we have elections. I think the narrative battle for the midterms is lost. But imagine someone
that was my
saying,
next question, because you're a smart guy. I just see bad to worse scenarios, and I'm trying to be an optimist, but I can feel the danger. Because, your subconscious is more powerful than your conscious. My conscious sees the danger. My gut is like I got a cattle prod stuck up my ass. I mean, I'm worried.
It's atrocious because it's here's the thing. It is a completely unforced error. When you have the House, you have the Senate, and you have the White House, it's on you. You don't get to blame communists or say, oh, you better vote for us or bad. Worse things will happen than what we're doing. The answer should always be, we haven't gotten after it in the way that we should. Here's what our agenda is. Like every single leader that's ever done anything bad says, I acknowledge failure. We've acknowledged the reasons why there was failure or why we haven't been as successful as we should have been. And here's what we're going to do to fix it. What we have Donald Trump saying is, I will never apologize for your gas being so expensive, and I'm going to run again in 2028. It's delusional.
Cuckoo town.
Yeah, and none of that says, like, well, Kamala Harris would have been a better solution.
The British were about to give up till Churchill said, all I offer you is pain and suffering, but you're real men and women, and we're going to win in the end. And they loved it because they loved the straight shooting. Why Trump can't do that is just disgusting.
Maybe it's because he's never had hardship in the same way, Alex. Maybe he's never done, like, when you're in the military, you see this all the time. So when things are rocky or difficult and you just know it's going to be bad, there's this idea, like, embrace the suck. And you'll see people, they put it on t-shirts in the gym now. It says, nobody cares. Work harder. That's a mentality that you can do. If I said, Alex, I know that your muscles are strained, that you're probably like verging on injury, but actually you're just having a really great time and everything's great. You'd be like, go F yourself, Seraphim. Like, you're lying to me.
If you said you're strong, you got great ancestors, you can do it. Let's do it together. I'm ready to go.
Right. And it's going to be hard for the next 90 minutes, but it's a finite period of time that this is going to suck. That's what makes people get through.
You're going to be greater on the other side. Not your gold. Everything's fine. Shut up.
Right. The Trump administration failure has been that they have tried to conflate positive PR messaging with the actual victory of itself. Like, they didn't actually do the things they claimed they were going to do. They just said that they were in, and so everything was better. And so, you know, this has happened over and over to the point where I sent you guys a clip of Dan Bongino saying this on his podcast, which I don't follow anymore, but someone sent me the clip. And the clip is like, he's out there crying that the Trump administration is going to be run to ground, that the next administration is going to come in and attack them because Hillary Clinton says we're going to have to root out all of the Trump.
Yeah,
appointees.
Let's talk about this. First, they say we have no power as influencers, which we're not. We're Americans speaking out. Yep. And then they say when they lose, it's our fault because they know right. The truth that we have the bigger audiences. So first, here's Bongino. Then you mentioned it. We'll play the Grassley clip. In fact, play him back to back and comment on the other side. Here's Bongino, and it's so disgraced. We're so sad for him. And then here's Grassley.
They are going to try to put every single Trump administration official they can in prison. Here's Hillary Clinton sending a message with that hapless, worthless host, Kara Swisher, another idiot. Here she is on the show talking about how, hey, man, we're just going to hunt everyone down. I knew that. I went in and he did my thing. You do it anyway.
So why didn't you indict them?
But we will all be hunted down. I promise you, every single one of us, because
there's so much to fix. I mean, first, get rid of all of the holdovers. Do not let anybody hang around in some small office somewhere who can literally.
Yeah, this is the new talking point on Fox.
That, you know, Trump and his minions are going to try to. You know,
put people.
They're going to try to move people from political appointments to so-called civil service appointments, although they're trying to destroy the civil service. So people are going to have to be really searching to make sure that they are not going to be literally subverted from within the government.
I can't with these people. They love to tell you like government's this force for good in your life. It's so benevolent. It's like a bunch of like, you ever see the play Annie growing up? It's like Daddy Warbucks. Oh, look, in the end, he's just trying to take care of Annie or whatever, despite being a little bit of a hard ass. Like, that's their thing. They're not just talking about principals, deputies, assistant directors in the Trump administration. Notice what she says. We need to look in those small offices there. Just to be clear, you're going to have some guy the Bureau of...
This goes on for like 4 minutes. We'll add it in post when we put it on X and Rumble. But this is what pisses me off. I have been sued. My family bankrupted. My parents attacked. I'm not a victim. I've had infiltrators, SPLC, all of it. All I wanted was you to do your job and protect us. And then you sit there and bitch now that they're coming after us when you're the ones that sat there and let them do it. Go ahead, Dan. I mean, go ahead and talk about Dan Bongino here. It's Kyle.
Sure. Well, here's the thing. He used to say it very famously. Personnel is policy. So why did they not get rid of all the people that would have been problematic? They should have been shrinking government agencies. This is the whole point of weaponization. Weaponization happens when you don't know what the thing is doing or the thing is serving its own masters, which means that there are people. That's what the deep state is.
And the number one to deal with an out-of-control bureaucracy is slash it and burn it.
That's the only way. And this is not a new thing. Machiavelli talked about this. You have the two options. You can either exile or execute them. If you want to take over your government and you have a hostile government that exists, you have to exile or execute. Well, exile means they have to leave, or execution means they get terminated from their job. Did they go do that in a meaningful way? If he's out here crying.
And you're right.
About
he goes on in the clip because I actually saw that. And to blame us, this is happening. No, you're the one that did it. You're the one that allowed him to do this. You're the one that allowed them to come back.
He literally went in there for 292 days and quit under a year. He quit in 10 months when that's what his job should have been as the deputy director. The problem is hubris. It's the same thing that Donald Trump has never been wrong. Dan Bongino didn't even know that he didn't have the ability to do that job.
So let me ask you this. What happens when they lose the midterms and it dawns on them that all the arrogance blows away?
Yeah, I've been trying to figure this out. There's a fork in the road, right? So one of two things happens. Either it's all part of the plan, so just keep trusting harder and vote Trump 2028 or whatever nonsense that is, or they're going to look for people to blame, because God forbid it be the people who have been lying to them. And here's the craziest thing. And you know, there's, I guess, a third possibility is that people will go like, hey, that Jones and Serafin guy have been saying they've been kind of accurate on this stuff. It's not because I didn't want them to do the 20 promises that were laid out there. I bring them up almost every single morning only because it's the rubric that the Trump administration gave for us to grade them. And if they said after 6 months that they already were successful on things that were basically a 4-year job, they didn't earn the second half. They didn't earn the midterm on. Politics is like an 18-month game at the longest part of the cycle.
And their answer is just total blazing. I agree. Now, why is this Grassley clip? Because I saw the video. I never watched it. What is this Grassley clip with the vacuum cleaner?
Chuck Grassley is 95,000 years old. He was 33 years old when he got this 1966 vacuum. And he's out there posting this garbage. And this is like what they call, this is Alex, whenever you want to call out or criticize somebody, Chuck Grassley is one of the good ones. They always tell you he's one of the good ones. Look at what the good ones are doing with their time on social media. This is what they're trying to message to us.
Well, plus, do you think, nothing against Grassley compared to a lot, he is not as bad.
He is one of the good ones.
How's he going to contend with big tech and the New World Order and the Iranians? Here it is.
He's 95,000.
Here's Chuck Grassley.
With the demise of Beth, I thought I'd be able to use my 1966 Electrolux, but it doesn't work either. So I'm going to have to wait until somebody gives me a used Hoover. I thought this backup that my mother bought me in the 1960s would work until I got a new Hoover, but it just isn't going to work out that way.
You know what's crazy? My mother had her mother's vacuum cleaner until I was about 10. I think it was the same one. I recognize that. That is crazy. But the point is, he's on a totally different planet.
Nobody.
By the way, where's Mitch McConnell? Where's Mitch McConnell?
Oh, he's dead. Yeah, he's definitely dead. I covered that this morning. Apparently, Andy Beshear was asking, like, hey, can we hear from our senator? Because we don't know where you are. And we haven't heard anything. And he said he's gotten nothing back. So Mitch McConnell's probably dead.
And since when can people disappear, or House members disappear for months?
He's a senator. He's 84 years old. There were credible reports that there was active CPR at his house.
Per the
dispatch, and the survival for a man in his 80s over 80 years old over a 30-day period after active CPR, it's less than 5%. By the way,
when they put that photo out, I heard it was AI. I looked at myself. The computer says that's AI. Like, look at this photo.
It doesn't look real. It doesn't look real. I think he's dead. I'm like, even if he is alive, is he like on life support? Is he doing the thing from the movie Dave where they've got him in a basement somewhere and there's like a machine keeping him pumping through? I don't think he's alive. I don't know what the value of this is other than to show you that we have an 84-year-old guy that is probably dead. We have a 94-year-old guy who's talking about Hoovers, and nobody's referred to a vacuum cleaner as a Hoover since before my lifetime. People that were old when I was a child called them Hoovers.
And we have an 80-year-old president who says he's going to blow up one of our allies if they don't back the war. Kyle Serafin.
Yeah, and then he's going to run again.
Yeah, it's insane. Kyle, where do people find your show?
Yeah, find me at KyleSerafinShow.com. That's our Spotify link. You can find the program from today.
All right, powerful interview. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tom.
I got a ton of news. Hour number 4 straight ahead. Share those live feeds right now at Real Hog Shows on X and Rumble. Stay with us.
Do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me! the force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
Planet Earth, filter your water. Stop turning my frog friends gay. This I command.
The Alex Jones Store.com. Fight the globalist takeover now.
A scarlet martini before breakfast? You minx. Are you trying to outdo me in corruption? Or shall we make it a team effort?
Of course not, darling. This is Methylene Red from the AlexJonesStore.com.
The ultramethylene red, madame. Bold, refined, and unapologetically potent. It optimizes cellular energy at the deepest level, delivers razor-sharp cognition, and ignites a warm, invigorating rush that spread through every vein.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable. Proceed with the install.
Copy that. Installing the module now.
Connection confirmed. All green.
Cable secured. Power to the cluster. Initiating boot sequence. Component locked. Running diagnostics. Archive systems online. Report to command.
Construction team, report status. Power grid stable, TK-421. Cabling complete, no faults. Proceed to phase two for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy. The Empire demands perfection.
Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is. Feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated.
Nice shot and nice bags. Wow, where are my manners? My name is Alex Jones, and I, like you, can't stand goblins. The forest is crawling with them, and I want them all dead. Chill out, babe. Get a hold of yourself, Pumpkin Jugs. It's Soros we're after, the Dark Wizard. He's behind the goblin invasion.
And the blood of the fallen rise down that line.
We need to kill him in a huge way.
Okay, hell yeah.
All right, lady. Now that we're aligned, I'd like to introduce you to my velociraptor named Gary. He hates goblins even more than I do.
Hi, Gary. Good job. Hey, so where are we going?
We need extra muscle, and we'll be linking up with some key allies. You don't just take on a dark wizard without a posse. You aren't very educated, are you?
No, I can't even read.
I want to celebrate your honesty!
Hooray! Hooray! Hooray!
Salutations, friend. Wait, who's the busty piece of trash you brought with you?
I don't know her name, but she hates goblins and can't read. We'll need her to overthrow Soros.
Fly, Blackie, fly. Gather intel.
Hey, I was walking through the woods and saw Blackie soaring towards Spire Soros. What's happening?
A lot of negative things overall. We need your help, Dr. Tuck, and also need your grisly companion, Roger.
Yay, Roger.
For this quest, we'll need weapons, courage, faith, and friendship.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder, another world,
another time,
his land was green and good,
until the crystal cracked.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the Resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Well, the bad guys wouldn't be working around the clock like we documented in the second hour with the CIA, the FBI, the Southern Private Law Center, the ADL trying to shut us down. But thanks to you, we're still here. None of this would be happening if the situation was hopeless. So never forget that. All right, I didn't plug the last 2 hours. I'm our biggest problem. As long as I plug the AlexJonesStore.com, the great products that are there every hour, we got the funds to operate. If I don't, we got a problem. So let me do that and then hit the rest of the news the bad guys don't want you to be aware of. You need to go right now to 1776rx.health and get pharmaceutical-grade ivermectin and benzidol that aren't just anti-parasitic. They do so much more. Do your own research. This is such a great detox. In my view, you should do this about twice a year. You do this through our medical system and through the nurses and stuff. Get their advice. Get their medical advice from them or talk to your physician. But everybody should go to 1776rx.health, just one word, 1776rx.health, and get your ivermectin with benzidol right now if you have half a brain. I mean, it is a no-brainer, and then it funds our operation, a total 360 win. Also, they're selling out of it, which is a paradox issue because they got this great fanny pack for $39 with six free patches, Gadsden flag, Betsy Ross flag, all of it in it. Those are like $5 a piece, so just six patches at that. That's like, do the math, $30 value. $39 for the fanny pack, highest quality, concealed carry. That's about to sell out. And the paradox is we sold out of the gravity fed filters, more about to come in. We sold out of the shower filters, more about to come in. You guys want it. We know the products. We just can't get enough of them to fund the operation. But that's all about to come back in. But get this fanny pack, concealed carry pack, before it sells out as well at thealexjonesstore.com. But over at 1776rx.health, you get the ivermectin and benzidol together. That is the ultimate detox for not just parasites, but so much more. Take action now on that front. It is a no-brainer. So much of the minbenzidol, which I'm supposed to sell online, and the ivermectin is fake or adulterated. This is medical grade. We only bring in the best. 7876rx.health. But when you're on the alexjonesstore.com, if you got to take one product, take our medical grade ultramethylene blue made in Florida. Because like I said, 8 years ago, my medical doctor owns a bunch of wellness clinics. He said, hey, get on methylene blue. And I said, okay, what type do you sell? And he goes, no, you get it on Amazon. Just make sure you get, you know, pharmaceutical grade. Well, they say it's that, but it's not. Didn't do anything really. This is insane. I've given it to over 500 people. Maybe three of them didn't feel it within 20 minutes, 30 minutes. But take a low dose the first time because some people have a crazy reaction and feel like they're going, no, they're on acid or something. I mean, it is amazing what it does to your metabolic level, what it does to your cells, how it skips the oxidation process. It is an incredible stimulant with no letdown. It is incredible. Ultramethylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com. And bovine colostrum. Now, we have a private label. That means of another company that is the number one top seller in the country. Most of the products at thealexjonesstore.com are private labels of already a bestseller with five stars, top tested, loved. We're not reinventing the wheel here. You go to these companies, and they most of them will let you sit there and put it out yourself. And we sell normally the bovine colostrum for about $6, $7 less than it's sold at Whole Foods, same brand. They got a deal for only 1,000 people that I'm sure is already not available now. I plugged it in the first hour because it's at cost. 72% off with a subscription. Then you lock it in for perpetuity at $19.59 a month. And when I started reading this ad, because I didn't come up with this, I'm like, this is, I've told them about 100 times, you got to make some money. Then I saw, oh, only first 1,000 people. Whatever, folks. At $34.99, it's about to go back to, it's a great deal. It's sold in stores for $55-$60 all day long. Gut health, immune health, nutrient absorption. It's the first 2 weeks of a mammal is the colostrum. And cows are not the best colostrum for humans. It's human milk. But who's got mama there? We're not, you know, newborns here. The next best in all the studies I've seen is jackasses. The royals and stuff will have special donkeys just for their kids on top of being breastfed to give them donkey milk. Donkeys like probably better than us. I mean, whatever's going on with donkeys. Next it's horse colostrum. Then it's goat colostrum. But cows is what you can mass produce. And it's really, really good. It's the best you can get mass produced. If you want clean skin, healthy, everything, it makes your skin looks great, makes your nails grow better, makes your hair grow better. What do you think it's doing for everything else inside of you? So this bovine colostrum subscription fundraiser is designed to support all these great things, gut health, immune health, nutrient absorption, whole body recovery, 70% off. It's at cost, $9.59 a month. You can lock it at that price. I'm going to call Bigley up later and say, guys, I told you to stop selling stuff at cost. I mean, my God, oh, big numbers, but don't keep any. I mean, that is a insane asylum deal. And so there you go. I'm like, why am I even reading this plug? It's like, it's just too good. So get that right now. Widest selection of Patriot Apparel, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, it's all incredible. Not sexy names, but sexy effects, and that funds this operation. We need your support. People are like, oh, sue the SPLC for infiltrating you illegally and they're under criminal investigation. Well, we are suing the Democrat law firms and groups that did this. We've been deposing them. We've been winning. You don't see it in the news. There's going to be some big announcements. I mean, I could already make the big announcement, but we got so much work going on that it has to do with the crew we have for the next big announcement. The crew all knows. They're all excited. I can't tell you. You heard all this stuff about how they took us over and all this. You know, they had the fake auction before and the other stuff, and that failed. Well, this one took a little bit longer. And just wait till you see this victory, okay? My problem is I've been up here at 6 or 7 at night, almost every night on other shows, interviews, and it's really I'm in charge. So I have to make the decisions about this. I have to get this set up. And if we had extra crew, we'd already be there, okay? So just believe me, we're all about action. We're all about victory. We're all about success. It's not like you're betting on a horse that hadn't won a bunch already. Just support us. Get incredible products. I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. TheAlexJonesStore.com. If you're not taking our colostrum, if you're not taking our methylene blue, you're cuckoo town. And if you're not detoxing a few times a year, in my opinion, my own personal view, on mimizidol and ivermectin, you're nuts. This is what we covered in the first 30 minutes of the show today, if you missed it, and just do your own research on mimizidol particularly. So I'm done plugging. There we are. I'm counting on you. I thank you all for your support. We cannot do any of this without you, and you decide whether this dog hunts. So 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, I don't know, like 18 days ago, I looked up this morning, 80,000, wasn't 50,000, later confirmed. Now the official UN number is 78,000. Okay, whatever. 78,000 Islamic military-age men in Morocco, meaning land of the Moors, right there at the Strait of Gibraltar on the African side, swam around this seawall that sticks out like 800 yards and went into Spanish-controlled territories that have been there since the Spanish took those territories to stop Muslims invading. They've held it off and on for like 800 years. So, I mean, when President Jefferson, who was against outside wars, sent the Marines and hundreds of ships to go fight them, to the first place they attacked, so the Muslim invasion point, and where their pirates would attack all our ships going through the Strait of Gibraltar. That's that choke point where it was Spain to the north and Portugal, and then you got Morocco, land of the Moors right there. So I said last week in headlines, I said, okay, well, they launched their last attack a few weeks ago. Now they've launched a new attack, because I could look at the local news and see all the footage of tens of thousands more pouring across. And I saw people going to Grok. Grok, is it true that there has been another invasion? And Grok's like, that has not been reported, because it goes off authoritative sources, the New York Times, the Washington Post. Now, today, they're calling it the second wave of the invasion, because that's what it was. So just remember, with my show, and it wasn't hard to say that, it was obvious, I'm going to say stuff a lot of times first, because I'm not waiting for CNN or the UN to say it, okay? And you should be the same. You know, you got a bunch of family took the COVID shot, got really sick or died. You don't need to say, oh, I'm waiting for a study. No, you're allowed to say, you know, I ate at that restaurant and I got super sick, and so did my family. You don't need a pathologist degree to know you got food poisoning. So the second big invasion's going on, and the Spanish government told the Muslims to come in, and they're actually taking a bunch of them in that get across the Mediterranean. It's only a few miles right there. But because it's too many at once, they're like claiming they're against it, because they don't want the Spanish to fully wake up and revolt against it. But what's really going on is the State Department 4 months ago passed a legislation in Congress for $40 million to Morocco, saying we recognize that you should control these Spanish-controlled areas on your coast. And Israel joined in because they're mad that Spain didn't authorize us to use B-2 bombers out of our bases there. And now Trump wants to kick them out of NATO. And I don't like the communist prime minister. I don't like what they're doing. But I really don't support launching a Muslim U.S.-Israeli-backed invasion to punish them. And remember, at first, 2.5 weeks ago, oh, it's not an invasion. Oh, it's not coordinated. And then all the videos of the Moroccan Border Patrol opening vans and buses up and with billy clubs swinging them at people to make them get in the water. Some of them couldn't swim, much drowned, and swim out. Guys, pull up that border seawall they've got right there in that controlled area city of Spain that I always mispronounce, Ceuta, Cueta, and they got to swim around it. It's guys with billy clubs making them get in the water to do it. And I'm not saying these guys, they turn loose, because guys, I'm just saying this was directed by their government to tell all these military-aged men and prisoners, you need to go do this. But here's the key. We'll start going to these clips. I got a bunch of them. As usual, the Red Cross is pumping hundreds of millions of dollars of food and debit cards and support in on the Moroccan side and the Spanish side, so they're in both countries. Now, why is the Red Cross the oldest intelligence agency that's been functioning continually? There were older ones before it, but not a continual one. Your grandma may give money to the Red Cross. You may go volunteer in a hurricane. I'm not saying you're a globalist agent. But the Red Cross is the oldest globalist intelligence agency there is, because they can go behind enemy lines. They've got all the spies. They can do it all. That's why I talked to cops on 9/11 and firemen. They heard the countdown to blow up World Trade Center 7. It was over the Red Cross communication system. So here's video. The Red Cross distributes food to Islamic criminals who want to devastate Spain and Europe. The Red Cross is complicit in Islamic invasion. No crap, Sherlock. That's why the Muslims let the Red Cross in to all their countries, work with the Red Crescent. Then that dovetails with just 2 weeks, Muslim invaders have already turned the area of Spain they took control of into a third world hellscape. They transformed what was once paradise into slums littered with makeshift tents, filth, and refuse. This is their vision of Europe. They told us that the town there in Spain was back to normal after the invasion of 70-plus thousand illegal migrants 3 weeks ago. Now the streets look like total hell. The illegal aliens, the Muslims, are protesting and running around and throwing fits. We've got so much more illegal migrants, Muslim invaders, are protesting for the right to stay despite entering Spain in the most offensive way. And it goes through it all. Let's just play a bunch of these back to back. Play from 23, 10, 30, 31, 32, 33. And then we'll stop and I'll go on the rest of the clips. I've got literally over 50 of these. Here it is. There's a Red Cross supplying them, the invaders. And they're on the coast of Spain doing it. This is in Ceuta. So you give the Red Cross thinking you're going to help hurricane victims. Now you're helping the Islamic invasion.
We want your babies.
Oh, that's in that's in Massachusetts where they kill babies that are born. That's another clip, but continue.
La vida nos cambia en un segundo. Una llamada nos destroza la vida. Y lo que hoy te está preocupando, lo que te está molestando, lo que te está enfadando.
So this is Ceuta, we're told nobody's in.
¿Qué es lo que le tocaba?
Now we got footage of them pouring into Spain proper on the mainland.
Claro que tenemos problemas.
And the government, I'll show you that clip, waving them in and giving them high fives.
Espíritu alegre, optimista, positivo.
Just hours of these.
Hay que valorar, disfrutar y agradecer las cosas buenas. Cuando la gratitud entra por la puerta.
Here they are protesting, saying, we deserve free everything. We deserve asylum. Give us, give us, give us, give us. Well, Islam's so great. Why isn't your country great? And here's more footage of them protesting. Let me show you footage of Spain proper collapsing. Doesn't that look nice? Why is it not so wonderful in their Islamic countries? I mean, Islam is so wonderful. Next, they talk about all the rapes and murders and crime, and how the police won't help them. The women and children are trying to evacuate to the mainland. Then we have the Moroccans acting like for TV cameras are trying to stop some people coming across after they orchestrated it. Then we have the key clip, clip 7. Critics of Spanish Prime Minister Dirty Sanchez are accusing the government of making it too easy for migrants to obtain legal status. Shows them landing and coming through, being led into the country as we speak. Here they are. Durga Durga Muhammad Jihad. Get on welfare, almost none will get jobs, and they will do whatever they want. Because they're trained, you're the scum. They're allowed to do what they want to. Dugga dugga Muhammad Jihad. Let's continue. There's more clips. Oh, this is in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, the Muslims pulling each other's clothes off and attacking each other with their burqas. Let's go to that.
Yo está
Should we leave the rest of the women pulling each other's burgers off here? I mean, we can laugh at this, but it's not funny. All right, let's move to the next clip. Enough of this. They're only sending back the blacks that had snuck into Morocco. Notice they're letting the Arabs through. So they're actually discriminating against Africans that flooded in. If you're black, notice only blacks are being sent back. They're letting the Muslims through when they invade. The government brings them up to invade Spain, but the blacks get sent back. So there is racism here. Of course, no liberal media will point that out. Look at all the garbage. Man, Islam is superior. It's like so wonderful. Every country they come into, they end up taking over. They block New York streets, you name it. They do all the world, letting you know, we rule you. All right. Now let's look at how Poland has handled this. Poland's border was once invaded a few years ago. Then they built a wall and passed a law allowing soldiers to use live bullets. And like magic, the situation is under control. Spain, please take notes. Here's the clip of that happening. You can see that on screen for yourselves. That's just 3 years ago in Poland. Looks like the southern border of the U.S. And now, where are we now? Sorry, we're not going to help these third world populations. The Strait of Hormuz has cut off half the fertilizer to Africa. They're all trying to come here now. The whole north is Islamic. Sorry, can't do it. But now look what Poland did. They have sovereignty. They took action. They're a great example of what needs to be done. There you go. Very historic. Now, let's go to the next clip. Polish politician in their parliament says, we have zero illegal immigrants. We don't give a bleep. We take care of our families. I want my daughter to be alive, not raped and killed. Europe needs more leaders like this individual. Let's go ahead and play a couple of clips of him talking about this. This is really, really important. Here it is.
Why do you support immigration?
Because I want my future daughter to be alive, not raped and killed. Is that enough? Is that a good reason?
In Poland, Poland is quite a protected country from immigration.
What do you mean quite? It's zero. We don't have illegal migrants. It's not quite protected. We did not let them in. None. Zero. Zero.
It's because you are afraid of what you're
becoming? No, we're not afraid. We're smart. We are brave men. Look at me. I'm not afraid of anything. We are brave. We are strong. We are not political correct. We don't give a We take care of our families.
We changed our law. When our soldier was killed with a spear, we changed our law and our soldiers can use live bullets now. So I have a message to all jihadists. Do not come to the Polish border. Do not try to harm any of our soldiers because you will be dead. Shot dead. And mark my words, communists, there will come a day when Christian Europe will rise. There will come a day that we will get rid of communists from the government. We're going to get rid of jihadists, and we're going to make Europe great again. And always remember my motto, learn from Poland, be like Poland.
Damn right. We're going to break with more on Poland. But, I mean, again, I don't hate these people, but they're taking the worst of the worst, the criminals, you name it, and spewing them at us while Bill Gates poisons them and cuts off their food. It's all planned. Poland will not accept any more sending illegal migrants to his territory, even though the EU is threatening to kick them out if they don't. Poland said, screw you, we want out of your EU. Your unelected filth bag, globalist, leftist, degenerate, satanic, anti Western garbage pile. By the way, I sent you a shot yesterday. I forgot to put it in this list of Polish beaches compared to the other beaches. Let's show some of that. And women can walk like hours out in the middle of the night and have not be harassed at all. Remember when America used to be like that? We'll come right back. Stay with us. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system. Even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial, and this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones.
Up here in space, we're looking down on you, my laser's trace. Everything you do, you think you private lives. Think nothing of the kind. There is no true escape. I'm watching all the time with the Holy Spirit. I'm elemental. My sight is clean. I am perpetual. I keep the country free. Probably back in our hands. Not a bluff. A guarantee. We have the momentum. The enemy has already been turned. All the desperate action you see are the death throes of our enemies. Those of us at the tip of the spear have a lot of pain to endure, but it's well worth it. And I am beyond committed to this mission. As long as you back me with word of mouth prayer and financial support at the Alex Jones Store. .com, where you'll find the provisions that will enrich and empower you. All you have to do is make the electrical decision, the connection to reach out into the future and your destiny. Share the live feeds now at Rel Alex Jones on X and at Rumble, rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. We are perpetual, unrelenting. We are the defense of the West, and the sleeping giant has been awoken. All right, let me make an announcement here. And I talked about this some in the first hour, and we got good news for you. So Saturday, I got a couple folks here in our small crew that do a great job, that do this, quote, social media, which just means modern independent media. They're like, man, the X algorithm is all screwed up. The back end screwed up. A bunch of stuff's broken. We don't know what's going on, but look for hiccups. That's why we're having problems with uploads. I said, okay, great. Saturday, do a live show. Doesn't get messed with. Goes viral. And then someone at the show, they go, hey, listen, it's suppressing the live feed. We already checked. Other live feeds of, like, sports and non-political stuff is suppressed as well. Everybody's complaining. We don't think it's censorship, but it has the same effect. You probably want to talk about it. So I'll go back to the border attacks here in Poland as an example of resistance in a moment. So I go on air, or I shoot a report at the end of the show, and I say, I'm not sure if it's censorship, don't think it is, probably just a bug. They're going to fix it. That happens a lot when, you know, X changes things. That happens anywhere when things get changed. I don't think Elon bought this to do this. I don't think he wants to suppress what's going on. Plus, it's not just us. It's everybody complaining. And then, boom, I wake up this morning at 4 a.m., and I go, hey, let me see if listeners and other, you know, content providers, I went to my post from last night to see if things were getting fixed or what had happened to other people. And instead, it was a bot attack, just 75% of the post. And it's not like, oh, 75% of the posts are saying this. I must be unpopular. That's not normal. It's not the regular posts, you know, aren't like that. It was a clear, concerted effort by influencers and others to say, you're done. No one listens to you. Give up. That's why this happened. And I countered, oh, funny, our regular videos have the same reach. Funny, no, that's going on. Funny, people that do sports shows and, you know, beauty care programs or live things are saying the same thing. I said, no, I think it's a glitch. I think Elon and his team will fix it the next few days. Well, they've already fixed it. They've already, wouldn't even show the live feed before. It was all messed up. It was a wet blanket on it. I think while they're fixing it, there's still some suppression, but maybe a 50% suppression. It was 90% last night. So very good signs. And again, when I did the quick report last night, I said this is probably a glitch and probably bugs. And then the Trump supporters, the really hardcore ones that, you know, a lot of them copy people that are, you know, getting Israeli money, $1.3 billion in the last year alone. Not all of them on the payroll, but they just regurgitated. They're like, oh, see, you're done. Oh, it's over. There's no problem. There's no glitch. And I was reporting on a glitch for everybody. So it just shows the cloud cuckoo behavior of like, oh, Jones is getting suppressed, even though he says it's everybody, which it was. Let's just claim it's because no one likes the show. And they were like, yeah, you just got Qatari and Pakistani bots. They're asleep now. That's why you're blah, blah, blah. Where is your instinct when we're having a problem, potentially censorship, that you stand up for free speech no matter who it's for? But how stupid you look again, that it was clearly, now it looks like a bug, and it's being fixed. It's like, I don't like look at a story gold. How do I seize and spin that to like sit there and say something? It's just stupid. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. Now, there's countless videos of how nice Poland is and how nice these other Eastern European countries are compared to the West because they don't let all these foreign invaders in. This woman in Poland jogged alone in a park from 11 p.m. for hours and never got harassed or messed with one time. This is just an example of the difference it is to be in Poland. Then that dovetails with a doctor in the Spanish area that was invaded by the Islamics saying, I don't know what diseases I'm bringing home. I can't even take my dog for a walk. Every day we receive reports of girls who have been raped. This is a doctor. All of these women are girls have been failed by the Spanish government. That's the doctor there. And then this, a pregnant Spanish woman unleashes after a migrant defends the invasion. And then this is talking about the road warrior scenario. This is the illegal alien migrant invaders in their off time fighting with each other. And then I guess the loser gets beaten up. I shouldn't laugh. Apocalypse in Spain. Show some footage of that. Everything happening in the Spanish territory is incredibly bad. And here's just some footage of some of the stuff going on there versus the incredible garbage on the beach. Here it is. Play those back to back.
Okay, so I am a lone blonde girl here in Warsaw. I just walked alone 5 kilometers at 10 p.m. and I felt completely safe. Nothing happened. No one risky situation. And if I was in Brussels, Berlin, Paris, I would need to order an Uber if I was even 1 kilometer away from my apartment or hotel. Do you understand right now the whole policy situation with national sovereignty, secure borders? Do you understand the concept of racism? Yeah, this is exactly what I'm talking about, right? Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Can you give it to me?
Present. No, present.
It's okay, it doesn't suit me.
Happy birthday, my baby.
Okay, it's a present. Got a nice present, yeah.
My friend.
Yeah, it's a present, right? This present too?
I want something for you, my baby.
This
some
present?
Money, some money.
Well, wow, thank you, man. Appreciate it. But you said a present.
You money.
You said it's a present.
You have a problem?
You have a problem? Do I want problem?
Si.
Do I want problem?
Si.
You said it's free.
Oh, give me back the present.
Don't touch me, man.
Don't touch me, man. Come on.
Oh, give me back the
present. This is what happens.
Thank you so much.
When you're in Spain itself with the illegal aliens, they attack you.
Don't do it. You can't go around telling people that they're presents and then demand money from them. Because that's
don't
a scam.
Do it, man. Don't do it.
Scammer.
Don't do it.
Scammer. Scammer.
My video, mate.
Yeah.
I call police.
Call police. Come, look, video, smile. Smile. Stop scamming people. Stop scamming people. Stop telling them it's free and then demanding money. You're a scammer.
Don't reach.
Don't reach. I'm not scared of you, bro. I'm not scared of you, bro.
Fuck you, dead.
Big cat. Let's go, Fred. Let's go.
La vergüenza, esto. Mujeres violadas, mujeres violadas.
Sí. Entre ellos se los llevan al monte.
Violadas.
¿Dónde está la policía que tenemos aquí? ¿Para qué estamos pagando impuestos?
De Ceuta,
¿por qué no lo recogen?
Estoy hablando. Las mujeres de aquí tenemos que estar así.
Atemorizadas.
Atemorizadas, que no podemos ni salir de la casa. Esto es injusto. Lo que estamos viviendo es injusto. Quítate de aquí. Es injusto. Es muy injusto que tengamos que vivir así. ¡No puede ser! ¡No puede ser!
La entrevista no es
usted. Es de vergüenza. Y aquí se tiene que levantar Ceuta y el país porque no podemos estar sin más.
You say it's not too much fun to be attacked and raped.
Tengo un hijo y estoy sufriendo y me duele de mi ciudad así. Me duele, hay que levantarse. No puede ser que nos invadan así.
Really are. End of the world, apocalyptic fighting. This is yesterday in Quetta, more invading. All military age men. Yeah, they don't bring their women. It's an invasion. Imagine that pouring into your town. They're all signed up for welfare, and then the gang raping begins. You're given free housing, everything. In fact, I began this piece, I never got to it, with a shot of where they're at a count of 300 in England, they're putting 1,200 illegals in. That's the standard deal. Imagine you're in a little village, mainly old people, and then there's 300 and something of you, and 1,200 get put in. A lot of fun, huh? That's enough. You know, I hate to say something and not have it because I barely get to go shoot a couple times a year now. I'm so busy. But about 4 years ago with this gun right here that I bought, they should be a sponsor. This is a Kato P 9mm. I can shoot with this at 100 yards, 4-inch steel plates, traps, or flapper targets, and never miss. And there's footage of this. So, guys, ask Rob Dew to check the archives. I never go out and try to do a bunch of fancy shooting. And, of course, I did go out shooting with military and cops, and I did outshoot them. You know, this is 17 rounds. They usually hit it at 100 yards maybe 10 times. I can hit over and over again all 17 times with this. Now, with a normal 9mm handgun at 100 yards, I'd probably hit half the time. This thing is a damn laser beam with a red dot on it. And my only point about that is imagine invasions here like you see there. Never going to happen because of the 2A. And unfortunately, most shooters are not as good as I am. I grew up literally 4 years old with 410 shotguns shooting coffee cans to teach me how powerful guns were. And if I misused one, I got beaten. It's just true. Didn't get beaten a lot, but when it came to things like guns or things, I remember one time I was about 6 years old, that 22 rifle, I started waving it. Even though I've been over and over again, been perfect, knew how to clean everything, and my dad just backhanded me, busted my lip. And he said, the reason I did that is you can get killed doing that. Don't ever do that again. And then for a year, when we would go to the ranch almost every weekend, he would not let me shoot. I had to sit there and watch all them shoot because I made that one mistake. One mistake. So, yeah, I was kind of given the end of the frontier training with guns. By the time I was about 16, I was an incredible shot, not as good as I used to be. But the point is it's also the tool. With this firearm, ladies and gentlemen, and I've shot a lot of 9mm. They're getting better and better. There's a few other companies. They're almost as good. They should be a sponsor. I haven't even tried to get them as a sponsor. By the way, Tucker Carlson has these and loves them. For whatever reason, he would only shoot shotguns on tape. I guess the image of him with other guns, but believe me, he's got them. People try to think Tucker does this big hunter thing as an act. He's obsessed with it his whole life. His dad, when he was a little bitty kid, like 3 years old, bought a big ranch in Maine where they stayed part of the year. And everybody was like, oh, that's a fake act that Tucker likes guns. I've been shooting with Tucker, not on camera, and he's better shot than I am. And I can usually outshoot Special Forces. You know, not when it's Coriolis at 1,000 yards and the wind, and they know that shot. But just, you know, Special Ops, 308, 300 Win Mag, sitting out there, bullseye, I can outshoot most of them. Can't outshoot Tucker Carlson. Not kissing his ass, just giving a little newsflash on him. But this gun right here is like a freaking laser beam, ladies and gentlemen. And just imagine with a bunch of marauders running around, you could sit there, and those idiots with rifles, even if they had them, don't know what they're doing. You could literally defend yourself against hundreds as long as you had the loaded magazines and a position where you were concealed. That's the power of the 2A, ladies and gentlemen. That's the power of the Second Amendment, and that's what's so amazing about it. So thank God to our forebears not giving us that right, but simply pointing out that right now. Now, one reason it's so accurate is the machining, and it is heavy. So this is like a service revolver. You still probably want to carry it because it's the best, at least that I've shot. And this gun's like 5 years old. I don't even want to imagine, because I owned three or four of these before, and I'd trade them in as they got better and better. This damn thing is just unbelievable. And like I said, I haven't gone and gotten a new one because how could I improve on this? I mean, I bet you they've got something even better. Look at the port at the top, too. Almost no recoil, almost no jerk to this. But a lot of that's the weight. I mean, you felt this. It's like a, you know, old-fashioned iron you use to iron your clothes. It's something else. I'm going to stop drooling. A little bit of, I don't know, it's like looking at a fine woman right now. I just want to start licking it. Hold on a second. Sorry. Anyways, I just love accuracy. There's nothing better. That's pretty good advertising for you guys. Alex Jones. Yeah. Oh, my baby. Please don't leave me. I love you. Oh, God. All right, let's stop. I don't know. Do I want the hot Polish blonde or this? I don't know. I'm like the Cookie Monster. Cookies. I need to get back to shooting more, man. I've been so busy. I hadn't been shooting in like 6 months, 8 months, because it was a couple months ago. I already went out to Copperhead. I'd never been out there out by Marble Falls. Oh, my God. I had a lot of fun. A lot of fun out there. Oh, I'm out of control, ladies and gentlemen. We never played clip one. Did we play clip one? The doctor talking about all the murder and criminal raping and everything? Did we ever play clip one? Doesn't really matter. So let me stop right now. You know, we got to a lot of the news. I shouldn't have brought this in. It's a little bit distracting when Marilyn Monroe's sitting around here. God, look at the ass on that thing. Oh, my God, look at the curves on it. Sorry. Do what? Oh, you didn't play clip one? You guys also, Rob Agueros found the clips of me literally predicting that an ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center meeting, it's like their one battle out for another where they find the Nazis. But that's what their actual meetings are with the Nazis running them. I was totally right to the T. We'll get to that in a moment. But let's finish that clip. Here it is.
Totalmente, totalmente. Es que nosotros en la consulta estamos viendo cada consulta con 20, 17 pacientes todos, pero aparte también la consulta que hemos abierto para el triaje de los inmigrantes llena 47, 50 pendientes a ver y es una situación completamente insostenible. Nosotros tenemos miedo, claro está, de atendiendo a todas esas personas, por mucho que tengamos medio de protección, no sabemos de lo que padecen, lo que tienen, lo que están incubando y tenemos miedo también llevarlo a nuestras casas, porque es lo normal. Ciertamente hicimos un juramento de atender a todo el mundo, pero que el miedo existe. Y es una situación que te sobrecarga porque estás viviendo esto aquí en tu trabajo, pero luego te vas a la casa y también lo vives en el barrio. Ejemplo, en mi barrio yo vivo en El Sarchal, la playa está llena, el campo de fútbol está lleno, no puedo salir a sacar a los perros porque me da miedo.
Yaumara, esto es así. Good to get on record what's happening there. Because the left tells us it's not an invasion. They tell us this is wonderful. All right, so I've been saying for years with documentation, the SPLC runs the white supremacist groups. They ran the Charlottesville deal. That all came out later. That was what I said. They sued me over that but dropped it. They infiltrated an organization, couldn't find anything. Now they're under criminal investigation. The head person that did it's under criminal indictment. But when I saw one battle after another, whenever it was, what are the dates of these clips? 6-8 months ago, whenever it was, I said in the real world, when you go to a Southern Poverty Law Center or ADL meeting and you go into the underground base with the Nazis, it's run by the ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center. I said it a bunch. I'm not sure which clips they found, but I talked about both. And now it's completely nailed that actually in the bunkers, in the bases with the white supremacists, it's run by the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center. Here it is. Finishing up with the SPLC. I know most of you know this, for people that are new viewers or the left. Do you think the left that literally thinks white supremacism is the number one crime in America and there's secret white supremacist armies everywhere and in movies like One Battle After Another where there's a giant secret underground white supremacist network that runs everything? In fact, pull up that scene. You type into YouTube, One Battle After Another, white supremacist meeting, and there's three of them. It's the one where they goes to the house. There's a bunker, and it starts with the music, a Christmas carol about Jesus. And they're trying to associate Jesus with white supremacism, and it's the Christmas Adventurers Club is I think the name of the video. And I said back when I finally saw the movie a few months ago, and I played that. I said when you really go into the Christmas Adventurers Club Nazi meeting, it's really the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center and Mossad. We ought to, in fact, have the archivists find that from like 2 months ago. A lot of you saw me do it. When you actually open it up and you go, who runs the white supremacists? Yeah, this is the scene right here. When you actually go in there, it's the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center. And I said that 2 months ago, and here it is. And again, they're not just infiltrating with spies. It turns out they're funding the leadership of all of the major groups. And they create infighting. They want to look as cartoonish as possible. They want to play into the stereotype. But it came out decades ago. KKK leaders were feds. They'd have events in Austin where it was like literally the xenotype of, you know, Jewish features, Ashkenazi Jews dressed in SA brown shirt outfits. And I'm going to be attacked in the newspapers. You know, Jones claims the Nazis were really Jews. Well, I mean, my God, look like a bunch of Larry Davids, Howard Sterns. I mean, come on, man. They thought Joseph Goebbels was Jewish because I guess kind of a little bit had Jewish features. Not really. More like kind of Spanish features or something. But turns out Hitler was about a quarter Jew. That's confirmed. Schicklgruber. Grew up in the house of Rothschild. His father was illegitimate, Rothschild. Now, that's extremely accurate. You might just want to add this to it. That's my opinion. Nothing secret, of course. All right, let's stop here. Good job, crew. You found me when the Southern Poverty Law Center got indicted 3 months ago. It's 5 months ago. You can find the original where I play the Christmas music. I actually play the scene. And because the headline is secret ADL meeting filmed. And then I don't say it till it opens up and it's Nazis. So I want that for tomorrow. I'm sure we can find it. It's like 5 months ago, but months before it came out about the Southern Poverty Law Center and all this. I want that one. I want it. Great job finding that. But that was me once it broke covering it. Not the one I want. All right. Harrison Smith is set to take over the war room. Find the feeds at Real Alex Jones on X, rumble.com/AlexJonesLive, and on the network feed at AlexJonesLive.com. That's the site to share. God bless you all. Now I'm going to go spend some time with my girlfriend right here. Say hello to my little friend. Oh, my baby, my sweetie, my honey pie. I love you.
At last, it's here. Bring it into the docking bay. Stack them all in my chambers at once. I now have all the AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter shower heads from the Alex Jones store.
There's something about this water I feel kind of funny. Hey, do you want to hang out tonight?
These stormtroopers are not warriors. They are vessels. We keep them full of chemicals to keep them under control. Like the dark side itself, it dulls the mind. It fractures the will.
Drink your water, troopers. I am sending you to the desert planet of Tatooine. We must crush the rebel force.
Dear, I think I'm gay. Me too. Let's go back to the ship and cuddle. I thought you'd never ask.
Turn around now and get back out there. These are your orders.
They're turning the frogs gay. Don't let them turn you next. Ha ha ha. You have to admit that Alex Jones is funny.
AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.